Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue. Oh, yeah. Listen right along. This is straight off the press. The remix fresh with no prior song. Oh. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. Yeah. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. Yeah. The raspberry wind is fragrant, flavorful. Insatiable eardrums taste the radio. Here can't be beat. The flash of me that'll leave all your doors and all half the week. What? Positive for motivational stack to see successful guests promote self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with the great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Everyone, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and of course you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, 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 everyone, to the forum, and thank you guys so much for joining me here live Friday night in The Remix. It's remix time, and so good to be here. It is November, can you believe it? November the 6th. 2012, and we're live in The Remix. Oh, peace and greetings to everyone out there. It is so good to be here on this Friday night. Have an amazing show planned for you this evening. It is a remix first. And also, I want to invite you to come on over and join us in the chat room, because the chat room is open. If you don't know how to get here, let me go ahead and give you some galactic directions so you can find yourself over in the chat room. All you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the remix, all one word, and just come on in. If you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to you as a guest joining us here live in the forum, and have you come on over and join us right here. Peace and greetings to all of our international listeners who are listening from all over the world. So I know you guys are listening from all over the world, joining us from Japan, joining us from Brazil, Amsterdam, the UK, all parts of Africa, as well as Germany, as well as Italy and Spain. Did I say Brazil? Brazil, and also our friends at The Forgotten Food, who is also out there in Brazil. And, of course, all of you who are joining us here, joining us in, what are we going to call ourselves, North America, Canada, the U.S., all of us here just live in The Remix. So good to be here tonight. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty fired up, not only about the show, but just about everything that's going on now. So welcome, welcome, welcome. The call-in number for the show tonight is 646-652-2711. That is the number to call. And boy, oh boy, do you want to call in tonight? Tonight we're going to have, like I said, a remix first. And we're going to be talking about the brother that's going to be coming on in just a minute, Brother Ra Giva, who's going to be joining us here in the forum. But first, I want to talk about some of those things that actually has been going on, that's going on over on the Remix family page and the Remix Facebook page over on Facebook. And so if you haven't got yourself over there, you definitely want to go over to Facebook right now, log yourself in, so you can participate in this chat. Welcome, everyone, to the Remix. It's been a great week. And can I tell you guys, I just want to share this with you. Tonight, Baby Blue had a talent show at her school. It was amazing. She did her thing. She did her thing. She actually performed in a group, and she really, really did her thing. So you know what that means. that when it comes time for the Remix family, oh, she's singing for us. She can sing for all those people, over 200 people. She could sing for the Remix family. So, yes, Baby Blue did her thing. She knocked it out the park and got a standing ovation. So, yes, yes, yes. Oh, you guys, let's talk about everything that is going on because so much has gone on since our last show. And one of the things that I want you guys to think about is if you did not get a chance, I'm on Facebook, and oh, my goodness, every time I come over here, it is amazing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, you guys, listen. Oh, my goodness. Listen, here's one of the things I want to say to you. Last week, the show, I am still reading your emails from the show last week. If you did not get a chance to hear the show from last week, one of the things I want to encourage you to do with last week's show and also all of the shows on the Remix is to download. Download that show and all of the Remix shows by just coming on over to the Remix, www.blogtalkradio.com/the Remix, all one word, download. I am looking at the answer to this question. So I'm kind of all over the place, you guys. I got to kind of calm my energy down because you know what happens when it gets like this. Yeah, Esther, you know. You guys know, you know what happens when my energy gets a little crazy like this, but we're going to have some fun tonight. It's going to be very engaging and everything. So we're going to be getting into that. I do want to talk about the show last week. The show last week on the Remix was about us taking the trip, and we actually went to the Sphinx, and we went inside the Akashic Records in the Sphinx, and you guys were able to pull out your own file. And so we did get a chance to hear from some of you on the show live. You shared that experience. But literally hundreds of you emailed me. I got your Facebook messages. I got your tweets about everything that you found in the records. And simply amazing, you guys. And so I am so glad to share in that experience with you about going into the Akashic Records, because it's very important to understand that on 11-11, which is when we did the show, 2012, this was actually really, really something I got in the channel, that another level of the records opened. And so we're going to be doing a lot of work inside the Akashic Records or the Hall of Records as we continue on. And so you can look forward to just more amazing discoveries. It's all about empowering you so that you can continue to do the work that you came to the planet to do. The gateway to the Akashic Records is definitely a show for you guys to download. We're probably going to have to do a show after the show so we can just talk about all of those things that you guys found in the records and how empowering it's been for each one of you. I've spoken to you in the readings this week, and they have been simply amazing. I'm always in awe at the brothers and sisters that come forth in the readings and at the time that they do and the discoveries. It doesn't matter what kind of reading we're doing, whether it's a sacred session, whether it's a God, Goddess, numeric, Akashic record reading, or whether it's an Akashic reading, or whether it's a reading for the children, the baby lotus, the glowing lotus, a couple reading, a feng shui reading. It doesn't matter. You guys are really putting in the work. When we talk about measuring the collective consciousness on the planet, that's a big part of everyone who listens to the Remix, which is, we know it's almost 2 million of you guys out there who's listening. But it's not just the listening that counts. It's about the work that you're putting in, the work that you're putting into yourself to empower yourself to really know, because we're in the time now where all of these pieces are coming back together. I want you to begin to start looking around, because you'll hear this. You're going to hear every I don't care culture, every background, everything. You know, someone posted up on Facebook that the remix is really like, in some cases, years ahead. Not just from myself, but from you guys and guests that come on the platform. Really ahead of the curve and everything that's going down. So we did that show, and we actually went to Egypt, to ancient Kemet. We went into the Sphinx. Some of you ended up in the ears. Some of you ended up in the toe, in the belly of the Sphinx, in the head of the Sphinx, in the tail of the Sphinx. Y'all was all over the Sphinx. And trust me, I go in the records all the time. There are so many places and so many levels in the records. So it just amazed me of how all of you are really about your business and you're about your work. I'm just really honored just that we can share this platform together and that we all can continue this amazing work as we learn and grow together. Now, the next day, what happened, right after we came out the records, the next day, right after that, it actually was a post that was going on that talked about how there was this group that was trying to bomb and destroy the Sphinx and also the pyramid. And I posted that because it came across Yahoo, you know. And then later, Brother Wayne Chandler, who is known for a researcher, you know, that is his work. The brother wrote the book Ancient Future. If you don't have that, you need to run to Amazon and you need to get it right now. Because that book in itself, based upon his research, working with some of our great ancestors and legends, Dr. Ivan Van Sertemen and Dr. Ben and all of the other great scholars, and also Brother Wayne Chandler, who is a scholar himself, putting all of this information together based upon Brother Wayne Chandler's research, he wrote Ancient Future. Ancient Future is happening now. A lot of those things that were predicted by our ancestors and many other cultures, those things are occurring in this time. Even though it happened thousands of years ago, it's happening right now. So what happened is that article came across, and Brother Wayne Chandler, we kind of were conversing back and forth on Facebook, and he told me he did some research. And he found out that the article was not authentic. It was a hoax on that level. Now, what's interesting about that, but he also said, but you never know, look at the times that we're in. Immediately the next day, Gaza started bombing Israel, and Israel said, check it out, I'm going to bomb you back, and I'm going to hit you in some of them critical places that you just hit us in. So see how these things are playing themselves out. It's about signs and it's about symbols. Know that Egypt, know that Kemet lives in your heart. Know that you can already go to the Sphinx. This is a message that we left for the world, for everyone that is on the planet at this time, because we went to the Sphinx the day before, whether it was a hoax or not. We've been there. I've been there. Anytime I want to go to Egypt, anytime I want to go to Kemet, I can go there. And you too can go there. So we can never forget these things that our ancestors left for us. We can't forget them. And in this time, it's even more important that we stay grounded and we stay rooted in not only what is current information, but also those things that was left for us. I want to tell you this really, really quick, because we have an amazing brother that's coming on with great share tonight. Here's something I want to share with you also as we move ourselves into the energy to get ready to welcome him to the Remix platform. Did you know that the hieroglyphs, typically the hieroglyphs that we see, the ones, the hieroglyphs that are on the walls inside the temples, and this was shown to me through a channel, and then I went back and did my research and found this to be true. But those hieroglyphs that you see with the pictures, and you see everything, the beautiful hieroglyphs that have been left all throughout Kemet, all throughout Egypt, that people today still go and see. Those hieroglyphs were left there for you and for me so that we could understand it. You understand? They actually took the time to say, check this out. I'm going to leave this for me. Why do I say me? Because we are the ancestors. Why do I also say me? Because I know that like myself and all of you guys, we've been reincarnated back on this planet 100 times, if not more. So we left that for ourselves. But there's also a language that is also left in a lot of the very sacred places that these writings were done by the priests in the priesthoods. And this is writing that most people cannot understand. It cannot be deciphered by the mind.
Get it?
It cannot be deciphered by the mind. And the only ones that really knew this language was the priests in the priesthood, the priestess, if you want to say it like that, and the scribes, whether they were sisters or brothers. Those were the only ones that could decipher those messages. So the messages, when you begin to look at the hieroglyphs, it's important to understand that, don't get me wrong, because it brings about a lot of understanding. And we've had everyone on this platform. Brother Dr. Wada Aspi has come on this platform to understand that. Also, Miss Sister Kwesi, Dr. Kwesi's wife, has come on this platform and talked to us about that. I could go on and on of the brothers and sisters that's been on this platform. Siva Elder Haru has come on and talked to us about this, and so many others. There's also a part of that code, a part of that language that really comes in through the hearing of the heart. To understand that language of the heart. So I wanted to put that out there because we have so much energy here that it is important in these times that you do listen to the heart. Remember, the mind can only take you so far. Your mind can only take you so far. So far. So understand that. Understand that. Trust that. Love that. Know that, as we say in the Kim Business Class. And, oh, by the way, we started the Kim Business Class, and I am so excited because, once again, we have another amazing group of brothers and sisters that is about the work and their business. So I'm excited about that. I also want to tell you guys, Sunday night, Brother Panic is going to be in the house for a Q&A, so he's going to come and do what he does, so that's going to be on Sunday night. So we have a great weekend planned for you guys. And also, I want to just send a shout-out because a lot of you have gotten your Know Your Magic Psychic Oracle deck, and don't forget to go over and post about the Kim deck. We did a lot of different spreads, and there were some spreads that was given out, even on the last show, Gateway to the Akashic Record. So definitely I want you to do that. If you have not had an opportunity to check out the Know Your Magic Oracle deck, I don't know where you've been, but let me tell you where you need to go. www.msblueblast.com/cards. And you can find out all about it, and you can read what everybody is saying. The deck has been around the world and back again, have readers using it, teachers using it, everyone using it. And the reason that all of these things are so important, because we are in the new era of aura gen. This is about the aura, your aura, which is many different levels. And it's about the gen, which is bringing out the genius in you. And so this is the time more than ever to really begin to bring those things into balance, because here's the key. Here's the key, and we're going to be talking about this in an upcoming show that I'll be doing with you guys. What we're really trying to reach is the part of getting into is the lower brain, that lower brain. So, yes, we want to bring the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere together so we can bring out that genius, but we want to tap into that lower brain because that lower brain, for those of you who are into numerologists, those of you who are into the study of the brain and neurology, you understand that. Dr. Anne Brown came on the show and dropped all of her science on that, and I know we'll have her back again to understand that that lower brain is where you want to be. So tonight, you guys, we're going to get ready to welcome in. We're going to get ready to welcome in this brother, Ra Giva. He's going to be coming. And tonight, we're going to be talking about generational patterns, which is something we talk about here a lot. This brother is going to come and talk about how to begin to break those generational patterns, how to find the hidden ego and facing the future. And also, we'll be doing a Q&A. So how exciting is that? And he has so many years of research. Oh, my goodness. He's not new to this work. This is his work. And he's been doing it since he's been on the planet. And he's going to come and be able to share that with you as well. I'm excited. I'm excited about the show. Always excited. I have another list of lineups of brothers and sisters that's going to be coming on tonight. But here's what I want you guys to do. We're going to get ready to dance in just a moment. But if you haven't gone over to Facebook, and you have a Facebook account, I see many of you have answered the questions because I posted some questions. So you can either go to the Remix Family page, you can go to the Remix Radio page, and you will see the known Remix logo there. And you're going to see the questions that are coming up. And I asked you three questions, and some of you guys, boy, y'all is getting it in over here with these questions. And you're answering the questions. You can answer them wherever you want, but I want you to answer the questions because many of these we will be talking about here tonight. If you don't see an option on the Remix Family page, if you click where the wording is, you can leave a comment there. So, however, you know how the song says, you can reach me by railway. You know, I don't care how you get there. Just get there. I want you to get there. That's what I want you to do. So I don't really care how you get over there. Just as long as you get there. And so we can begin to answer the three questions. I see you guys are going all in over here on the Remix, on the Remix group. You're going all in. If you want to be added to the Remix group, just send a request to be added, and we'll be added. You guys got some really great questions tonight. And so we're going to be able to give Ra Giva, we're going to be getting it in tonight. We're going to be getting some work in tonight, you guys. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great show, you guys. I'm so glad to be here. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And I'm your host, of course, Miss Lou. The chat room is open. So you guys are free to come on in and bring yourself over and join us in the chat room. And also, big shout out to everyone who got the Know Your Magic Oracle audio workbook, which is excellent for this time. We have all of these tools out here. We need to use them. They're spiritual tools that we can begin to work with and work with in a big way. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to dance tonight. No doubt, I got to dance because I need to move some of this energy around. Woo! I feel like I could just break out in a song myself, even though I didn't sing tonight. Maybe Boo did. Tonight is a very special night for a lot of different reasons. And we will not go without honoring sort of what time it is. You know, across the world, there's many different celebrations that go on every single day. And so today is really about some very, very strong goddess energy. You know, it's almost the new year for the goddess. So I thought this would be so perfect to have a brother come on, since it is the new year for the goddesses, and I consider myself a goddess. So I want to, you know, kind of celebrate a little bit, and we can have the brothers come on. But wait a minute, brothers. Y'all are going to do something else for us sisters tonight that we've done for you guys a many a time. And so this is sort of, you know, they call it the celebration of light in India. It's also called the new year for Kali. It's also this new year for Oya. It's also for Nephthys. You know, you name it. These goddesses, it is here for them. You know, all of these goddesses, it is that time of the year. Can't you feel the renewal, the freshness? Now, of course, we're talking about energy, so brothers, you may feel it too. Of course you do. You feel this energy here. This is a time of celebration of this particular energy that's here. So you'll see a lot of goddesses. Nephthys, you'll see her. You'll also see Rihanna, the goddess Rihanna, Sedina, you know, wow, Oya, Yemenya. You'll see this energy moving, even though they have other days that are strictly dedicated to each one of them. This is also a new year, really, for Kali, bringing in a lot of that particular energy. So a lot of powerful things going on. You know, we just had the total solar eclipse go on. So, oh, na, na. Oh, na, na. Come on, you guys. You can say it with me. Oh, na, na. Oh, na, na. You guys know you want to say that. We're live here in the remix, everyone. And so I know you guys are over on Facebook. I see you constantly posting, and I see you putting up everything there. So I want you to keep those questions going, keep those things going, because we're going to be getting into those questions, reading a lot of them here live in the remix tonight. So a lot of the questions will get read here live in the remix. And it's so good to have you guys in the house tonight, you know. And, you know, I always like to talk about opposing energy. So, you know that there's a lot of bipolar activity out there. I wouldn't be me, Miss Blue, if I didn't tell you guys that. People trying to seek attention in every way they can. I can assure you, stay focused on your business. Stay focused on where we are at the show tonight. This agreement that we have all agreed to come to, and some beautiful things will happen for you. So some beautiful things will happen for you here tonight. And also, I want to give a big shout out to Brother Bobby Hemmett and his queen, Linda. I'll be giving those shouts out later on, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ready to dance, and on this particular dance, what I want to do is I want the brothers to sort of kind of usher us in. I think it's good that the brothers kind of lead us in. So tonight, we're going to kind of, sisters, we're going to kind of sit back and watch them do their thing. They're going to do their thing for us tonight. And we're going to watch them as they get ready to raise this energy up and really raise that masculine energy up with the feminine energy. And we're going to watch them kind of do their thing here with us tonight. You're live in the remix, everyone, and I'm your host, Miss Blue. And here we go. Here we go.
Well. Ooh. I got a wife and a baby. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 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 oh.
Now my love has gained its fame. Yeah.
Slipping into darkness.
Everyone, peace and greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you're live in The Remix. We're going to get ready to welcome our guest, a remix first, that's coming on tonight. The brother, Ra Giva, is going to be joining us here tonight, and we're going to be covering a lot of different topics here. How to break generational patterns, finding the hidden ego, and facing the future.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's the Remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wen, and you are live in the Remix.
Hey, yeah!
La 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 la, the Remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue, and remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, here we go, you guys. Let's go ahead and give a remix welcome. And to our brother Ra Giva, as he joins us here live in the forum. Peace and greetings to you.
Peace and greetings, I'm on?
Yes, you are. You are live in the remix. You are on.
Oh, I'm so glad to be on, live in the remix, baby.
Well, it is so good to have you with us, Ra Giva, live here in the forum. As you can see, everybody is here, and we're all here ready to get into the share tonight. I want to start out by giving you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself a little bit, just tell everyone a little bit about who you are and the work that you've come here to do.
That's a real good question. real good setup. Let me start by saying I want to thank you for the opportunity to come on this show. I want to thank my brother Bilal, who I've been working with for a long time, and we've been working with each other to make some things happen, or I should say to step up to the plate and take on our responsibility.
What? Also, if you can do this for me, because we're having a little bit of problems hearing you there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. Is it better when I started off?
It sounds like it's a little clearer. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just holding the mic a little closer to my mouth. My responsibility, basically, for the past, I would say, maybe 35 years, my responsibility has been really reminding people what their responsibility is and how important the role of being, how important responsibility is in the universe. How when we, you know, fail to step up to the plate to our responsibilities, the gaps and the suffering that it causes in our lives and for generations to come by us not upholding our responsibility now. So even as a child, at the age of 5 years old, I knew that was my responsibility. So much so that I used to have nightmares about being late, because what I discovered was that time was an essential part of being responsible. That if you didn't respect time, it's going to be a hard time for you to respect your responsibility. So as a child, I would have nightmares about showing up late because I know I wanted to be on time for everybody. I wanted to be on time for myself. I wanted to be on time for other people. I wanted to be on time for those children not even born yet. Because I realized that there's so many of us that have not been on time. We've been late. We've been late because we've been trying to do everything the world tells us to do and not what ourselves tells us to do. So my work has been about really reminding people about the voice of self and getting them to turn back into self and to start listening to their heart so that their heart can lead them rather than their intellectual mind or what we consider ego. And learning to surrender to their greater self, which is, I believe, is the heart, like the Egyptians used to teach about the idea that, you know, the center of intelligence really is the heart. And when we learn to submit to it, you know, we could have the opportunity to live a wonderful life. And so my work is dedicated to people having an opportunity to live a wonderful life by surrendering to their heart and taking on their responsibility.
Yes, beautiful. And so one of the things I know, me and you talked about this, was really just when it came to understanding those things at the heart and the questions that we sort of kind of posed out there for everyone, and I'll kind of take a look at some of those questions there, that how some people are responding if you guys did not get a chance to see that. But first, before we get into this, I want you to know, and I also want you to speak on, I want everyone else to know, but I would like for you to speak on, to talk about the role of ego and how that sort of shows up in the lives of people.
That's huge, Ms. Blue. Let me first say this. You know, I have not taking on the role of being anybody's teacher. You know, at one point in time, my ego had me fooled to believe that it was my job to teach people.
Right.
And one day I was flying to go work with a family in Des Moines, Iowa. And during the flight, myself said to me, "Now I want you to know that you're not going up here to teach these people anything." And so I was like, "Well, why in the hell am I going up here? Shit, it don't make no fucking sense for me to go up here. I'm not going to teach them anything." That's what my ego is saying, you know. So myself says to me, "Listen very carefully. The age of acting as though you're teaching somebody else is over."
Right.
You know, it is one of the greatest, I think one of the most arrogant things of the ego, for us to believe that we can teach somebody about themselves who has been with themselves 24 hours a day since the day they were born.
Right.
So myself made to me very clear that you're going up here to remind them of what they have forgotten about themselves but need desperately to remember to save their family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went up there and I remember going into the hotel room that these, you know, this family, a large family, you know, paid their money to bring me down there to work with their family. And the minute I said to them that I didn't come here to teach you anything, that I've come here to remind you what you've forgotten, it was like a great sense of relief that entered the room. And, you know, and in that moment, everybody just put their guard down and start talking real to each other. And we were able to get to some stuff that their family had not been able to get to for years. And they have been with each other every day, almost. Marriages have are on the verge of breaking up because people hadn't been being honest because of these guards we have up because we believe our ego is always, like, working to tear shit up, even when we don't know it's working to tear shit up.
Right.
So let me put it this way, in terms of a simple definition that I've learned of ego and studying my own, observing my own. And I want to say this first, that the ego is not necessarily a bad thing. It is what it is. It is a part of this world. Think of it as a grounding mechanism, just like an electrical current. You have to have a grounding wire. Well, when you come into this world, your ego is like that grounding wire that grounds you into this world. It's the thing that gives you the grit or the what I should say, the attitude to struggle in the world the way the world is. Now, the world wants to stay the way it is. It doesn't want to change. The agreements that are in existence in the world, when you come into the world, wants to remain. So the people in power wants to remain in power, and the ego sort of works along with that to maintain status quo. So,
right.
But here is what the ego is, because the ego is not something you're born with. It's something that you develop as a result of maybe having some great disappointment in your life. Usually as a child, you have a great disappointment, and then when you have that disappointment, you become confused, you doubt yourself, and at that moment, what I consider the master illusion begins to be downloaded into your mind, into your mental computer, almost like a virus.
Right.
You know, you have a virus downloaded into your computer, and then somebody else is able to access your computer and get your computer to do stuff that you can't get it to do. They override your command.
Right.
So here's the virus. The virus is what I call it the master illusion. And the master illusion is centered on the idea of believing in lack. And there are four levels of that lack. There's not enough resources in the universe. All right? You're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not tall enough. You're not this enough. You're not that enough. You're gone forever. The next one is that the whole quest of life is in jeopardy. In other words, God can lose. That there's a battle going on that quite possibly can be lost. And the last one is that you don't have enough time. So you're operating under all these illusions of lack. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough resources. You're not good enough. And the whole quest of life is in question, which as you begin to believe this, ego begins to grow in you and develops in you. And you develop some very common habits, practices. And it's five habits that I've watched and observed in myself and other people in my line of work that are very distinct, that keeps this world going. Those five habits are this. The first habit is simple comparing ourselves to other people. So you have one unique human being comparing himself or herself to another unique human being, which goes against common sense. It's like comparing apples and oranges. You have no business comparing apples and oranges and then assessing a value to the apple and orange based upon how different they are, because they're designed to be different. They're not designed to be the same thing. Just like you're not designed to be somebody else is. In fact, no human being is designed to have the same experience. We're all designed to have a different fucking experience. But yet, it doesn't stop any of us from trying to force our experience down on somebody else's throat, like our experience is the bread and butter experience. Comparing puts us into that stream where we begin to put our experience above somebody else's, and then if their experience is not like ours, then we say they're less than, or if they have what we consider in this world a more expensive experience, you know, they own a little more material, then we say that we put their experience up above our own. So that's the first habit, that comparing. And when we all do it, the ego leads all of us to do it, right?
Yeah.
The second one is pleasing. Yeah. We, in our thinking that we are not enough, we go into our relationships already pinpointing in our mind what we have to do to cover up what we think we're lacking.
That's right.
So that person will go into the relationship working hard, I mean working hard, to prevent the other person from seeing what they think is not there. So we'll do everything we can to please them, buy them whatever, do whatever they say, and then at the end of the day, we're not going to please their ass because it's impossible to please anybody else but yourself, right? So
yeah.
But we're in that cycle. We're in that comparing, that pleasing. And then it leads us to this third habit, which we see in ourselves. And that third habit is the criticizing of other people's expression. So
yeah.
We see other people expressing themselves and being free or just saying what they really want to say, and we criticize it. And when we criticize it, it sets us up. In our mind, we say to ourselves, well, damn, if I'm criticizing their expression, when I start expressing myself, motherfuckers going to criticize me. So we don't express ourselves. So then what happens is we begin to suppress our own expression because we feel in our mind that there are people out there who are criticizing other people's expression, like ourselves, right?
Right.
The fourth habit that we go into is the habit of proving. Now, I haven't met a motherfucker yet who is not trying to prove he's right and the other person is wrong, and at the same time try to make him or herself look good and the other person look bad.
Right.
That's like a staple habit with the ego. The ego comes in and it wants to prove. I mean, it doesn't matter what the situation is, wants to prove that I'm somehow righter than you.
Yeah.
And you are less right than me, and therefore I look better and you look worse. The ego
right.
does not coexist with somebody where we both can be right and we both can look good. The ego doesn't know how to do that. It's like it's like Peter Pan. You ever heard the story of Peter Pan?
Yes, yes.
Right, the little boy who didn't want to grow up. Well,
yes.
That's the manifestation of the ego. The ego is like the little boy or girl inside of us that refuses to grow up and take responsibility. And so the ego causes us to generate behavior that moves us away from taking responsibility for anything that seems like it's going to be tough for us to deal with or is going to be a challenge. The ego has no problem with getting us to take responsibility for success. It'll beat his chest up, be the first one to stand up and raise his hand. Yeah, I did it. But if shit gets fucked up, the ego is not nowhere around. And that's when, you know what I'm saying? And that's when it really takes the real self to step up, right? To step up and take on those ugly things in life that sometimes happen that the ego don't want any responsibility for. And number five, which is what I consider the granddaddy habit of them all, that keeps us all in this master illusion cycle that causes the ego to grow and get bigger and bigger, and that is the habit of competing. We compete about everything.
Everything.
And,
oh, so true.
And Ms. Blue, sometimes we compete, and we compete against people that don't even know we're competing against them. They think they're our friend. They think they're doing us a favor. They think they're helping us. And our sick ego the whole time is competing against them to try to prove something to them, and they're working out the best of their out of the kindness of their heart for us, and we competing with theirs. And so what happens is the ego ends up manifesting suffering in some form. It creates suffering. So everywhere in your life right now, like if you look into your life right now, wherever you're suffering, if you could be honest.
Right.
With yourself, for all the people that's out there listening, if you could be honest with yourself, whatever you're suffering is because your ego is out of fucking control.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that you haven't been observing your ego, you haven't been outgrowing your ego, you have been walking away from responsibility, and you've been passing on your issues or your problems to those that are coming after you.
Yes.
So, you know, my job is to remind you that you are not going to move forward in this universe.
So true.
Until you pick up your shit and carry it.
That's right.
There have been so many other people out there carrying your shit, and people are tired of carrying other people's shit.
Yes.
You know?
I talk about it. I call it the bag lady. With all them bags. You know, Erica Badu thinks about the bag lady can't get on the bus because she got all them damn bags.
That's right. I know my mother was carrying a lot of bags for my ass. You know, and we don't understand. I mean, I remember I had a conversation with you, and I was telling you about the women that I work with.
Yeah.
And when I got a chance to sit and listen to the weight that they were carrying for other people.
Right.
Because so many sisters that I've met are carrying or taking on responsibilities for so many brothers.
Yes.
That when I heard it, I was like, wow, we got to wake the fuck up, because there's no way in the world they're going to be able to take on the responsibilities that are ours. And there's no way we're going to be able to get back our power as men until we pick our responsibility back up. Now, that's not something that you're going to get the CNN to do no report on. You're not going to have no glamorous drum roll and somebody going to roll up with a camera and say, man, look at this motherfucker handle his responsibility. That shit ain't
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because what we're supposed to be doing. But
that's
it's like
true.
We're looking for that. We're waiting for somebody to cheer for us to do what we came into the universe to do. So this ego, if you want to be able to distinguish your ego from your true self, all you got to do is listen carefully to the language you use and listen to how you communicate out to others and to yourself. And everything that you communicate that somehow moves you away from responsibility, get that, that's your ego.
Yes.
Your true self wants responsibility because it knows this one thing, that only in responsibility do we grow in power. Only in responsibility do we evolve as human beings.
Say that again.
That's so profound, isn't it, though? Only in responsibility do we grow in power, and only in responsibility do we evolve as human beings. When you look at, for example, an infant, when an infant transforms into a toddler, and then a toddler into an adolescent, and an adolescent into a preteen, and so forth and so on, at every stage of evolution, the body is taking on more responsibility.
So true.
And it's built into the body. Now, the problem is, as human beings, we have the power. We're so powerful as who we are. We can resist evolution by remaining ignorant. And some of us have a love affair with ignorance. We've been so in love with ignorance. It's like, oh man, all we want to do is have sex with ignorance. Let me go find ignorance to sleep with. And when I say ignorance, I want the listening audience to understand what I mean. I'm not talking about the traditional definition of ignorance, where you think ignorance is just the lack of knowledge. Because I've met a lot of motherfuckers with a whole bunch of knowledge and just as ignorant as all outdoors.
Yeah, so true.
It is not knowledge that makes you intelligent. But ignorance, especially willful ignorance, is the absence of responsibility. Because you can have knowledge and still not take on your responsibility. And whoever is not taking on what is rightfully their responsibility, that's an ignorant motherfucker.
Yes.
Because if you understood what you are creating and causing in your world, in your life, in the life of those that are coming behind you and in front of you, you know you have to be ignorant to do anything like that. Because you're causing and you're pushing suffering forward and you're pushing suffering behind you. So either way it goes, you're like a walk-in producer of suffering. You don't know it, but those who are coming behind you know that's what you're doing.
Yes. Great information, and definitely understanding too, just about how key these things are that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. I see it all the time in the readings. I see it all the time in the sessions. It's a lot of things that we discuss, but you really put a fresh new angle on how we're taking a look at this word ignorance, of what ignorance is, and also just even taking a look at the word responsibility and really seeing it in a way that we can begin to see that. Now, can you give us an example of competing? Because this is something that goes on a lot. And I think the competing, the competition, give us some examples of that. Because typically sometimes we think it has to be all-out war, or we're raging war, or I don't like you, or you don't like me. You're not talking on that level. You're really talking on a level that is so much more subconscious than anything. So give us an example of competition.
Well, I always like to use myself because, you know, this is what I've learned. I've learned that when you expose the ego, when you strip it butt naked in front of people, it tends to not want to show up too often.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, when you strip it butt naked, it tends to not want to show up. And see, that's one of the things that I remind people of. If you are willing to strip your ego naked, I promise you, your ego is not going to want to show up on a regular basis. But if you are, you know, invested in keeping the ego looking good, then the ego is going to keep your ass suffering. So I made up in my mind one day, I'm tired of suffering. I said, like, oh, no, Lord, this is a wrap on this shit. I have enough suffering. This is generational suffering. I've seen the suffering go on with my mother, her mother's mother, and my father's father, and so forth and so on. A legacy of suffering. I said, enough is enough. The suffering comes to an end right now.
Yeah.
And when that realization came to me and I started taking a closer look at this ego and ignorance, this willful ignorance, and what I saw was that I saw these habits, right, and how these habits were, you know, keeping the ego alive. It's almost like it's like food for the ego. The more we compete, the more we please, the more we try to compare ourselves, the more we criticize, we just keep growing the ego.
Right.
So and the self gets smaller in comparison to the ego, while the ego keeps getting bigger. So here's my brother, my younger brother, right? Now here's my younger brother who I have basically raised, because we grew up real poor. You know, and mom and dad divorced at an early age. My grandmother ended up having custody of us. Almost were put into child custody for the state. So I basically raised my little brother. So I've always had in my mind that, you know, it was my job and my responsibility to go out into the world and make it big and be able to help them.
Right.
Well, the way life would have it, it flipped. Well, my little brother would go out into the world and end up becoming a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when I would be around him, I'm saying to myself, "Damn, that should be me."
What you say? That should be me.
That should be me. That
I love it.
Now here on the first level, I'm comparing. I'm taking an apple to an orange. I'm looking at one life to another life. Now here's the thing: we all are doing something different with our life based upon our responsibility. Our natural responsibility. We are unique for a reason. That's because we have a unique responsibility. There are some unique circumstances and situations in life that we have been created to handle. And we have the ability to handle that motherfucker so well. But all we have to do is show up, right? But if we're comparing ourselves to somebody else, we're trying to show up to their shit instead of showing up to our own shit.
So true. So true.
So here I am watching my brother. He's a millionaire. I'm trying to show up to his shit. I'm like, he ain't supposed to be. That's supposed to be me. So he's trying to get me in every way to cooperate with him. You know, and I'm resisting. Don't want to cooperate. I'm looking for reasons to why shit ain't gonna work. Why I can't trust him. And my ego is generating all of this. And this is a form of competition. Because in the competition, I'm sabotaging our relationship. And to him, the relationship is important. It's important because he's a lot like me in terms of the heart. It's important. And I'm like, I ain't giving you that shit because that's supposed to be me. God didn't fuck this shit up. I'm supposed to be there, right there, and you're supposed to be coming to me for money.
Right.
So on a very subtle level, then here I am. I'm going to show you. Watch this. I'm going to go do something spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the whole time I'm trying to do something spectacular, I'm not doing it out of true intention. I'm not doing it from my own abilities, my own unique abilities. I'm doing it from a place of artificialness, a place of foulness, a place of I'm going to show you and watch me roll and all this other stuff. And the universe doesn't back that. That's false. That's all false.
No, that's so true. Yes.
It's all false. And what we end up doing is create suffering. So. And that's what I mean by suffering. We end up doing a whole bunch of shit and not getting any rewards for it in our own life. Well, we don't get any fulfillment and happiness, and it makes us suffer. Now, we suffer in private now. We won't let nobody
that's
see us sweat. But by our damn self at home laying in that bed or when the lights go out.
Right. The lights go out.
Man,
right.
Some suffering going on. You're like, oh, Lord, why me? And why I keep going through this? But then when a motherfucker get in front of somebody else, showtime, oh, man, I'm doing great. Shit, couldn't be better.
Yes.
And the whole time we don't realize that the universe is listening to every motherfucking thing you say.
That's
it's listening
right.
to what you say to yourself, and it's listening to what you say to other motherfuckers. And it's
That's
measuring
right.
against itself. So it's saying, okay, you said last night on your knees you have no money. Lord, I need some money. But then when you got in front of the showtime, you behaved and act like you had so much money going on. The universe said, well, tell me which one it is, motherfucker. Do you have money or not?
Oh,
I mean,
it's real. Yes,
so the
real
shit,
talk.
The shit
it's so real.
Yeah,
yes,
the shit canceled out.
It canceled out.
Yeah, you might as well be talking like Charlie Brown. Womp, 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 womp. Because there ain't shit happening for you, and that's going to create
right.
suffering. Now,
yes.
what I found in my own life, I thought it was somebody else doing that shit to me. I really did before I
yes.
woke up.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought
I
someone
understand.
Else was doing this shit to me. Matter of fact, when my teacher, my mentor, one of my first mentors, Brother Wali Muhammad, when he first told me that man was God, that motherfucker gave me a splitting headache. I had a headache for 6 weeks. When he told me that shit, I was like, you mean to tell me I'm responsible for this shit? Yeah, you're responsible. I didn't want to hear that. And I'm pretty sure right now, me saying this about responsibility, there's a lot of people that don't want responsibility because we've been in the matrix. We've been inside our ego because the ego really is the matrix. It is the wool pulled over your eyes to prevent you from seeing what you're responsible for in the world. And you've been irresponsible for so long that now when you discover what your responsibility is, you don't want to even know how to take responsibility for it.
Right.
But we're in a situation where the universe now is saying, look, we have an agreement going on. Here's the agreement. You are going to take your responsibility or you're going to leave. Plain and simple.
That's right.
That's what the announcement is. The announcement is you're going to take your responsibility or you're going to leave. You're going to shit or get off the pot. All that
that's
shit
it.
Talking, that bullshit, going to stop. You're going to take your responsibility or you're going to leave.
Box or
like,
throw rock,
hey.
As my daddy would say. Are you going to
barbecue or mildew?
Barbecue or mildew. Oh, no.
Hey, you got to do something with the pit. You got to do something with the pit. Just like the song you played before we got on, Slipping in the
yes.
Darkness?
Yes, yes,
shit.
Yes.
There's so many of us slipping in the darkness.
Yes.
We're slipping in the darkness because we're not taking on our responsibility. The only reason why we got permission to be in the light is because we have a reason to be in the light. You ain't coming into the light to shake your ass. You're coming into the light to pick up your shit and go to work.
Yes.
That's why we come to the light. I ran from the light because I didn't want to take on the responsibility until one day, sitting down with a group of women, and they were telling me all the shit that they were carrying. I said, well, I ought to be ashamed of my motherfucking self. Because there's some shit that I'm supposed to be responsible for that I'm not taking on.
So true,
and there's
no
way
yeah.
in the world I could stand as a man in the face of who I really am. And
yeah.
say that I did all within my power to do what I came here to do.
Mm.
To express all that I've come here to express. And I meet brothers and sisters all over the planet who're struggling with the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean we're bad. Doesn't mean we're
right.
evil. But what it means is that we've made an agreement with our ego, and we have to start learning how to outgrow the influence of our ego so that our self can rise again. And we can be all that we were created and designed to be. And we are some powerful motherfuckers when we wake
yes.
up to the reality
oh,
of
yes.
our truth. Yes.
So true, so true. And, you know, moving right along, because it's, like you said, that's so much powerful information there, is to be able to understand this thing about competition. You know, one of the things that I talked about on the show last week, we talked about the show was called Gateway to the Akashic Records. But when we had Hurricane Sandy, all of the places, not just about all of the places, but the path and either a lot of the places where Hurricane Sandy hit were some of the places of where the slave ships came in at. And so, you know, one of the things that I've seen is that symbolically it represented sort of that end of some of this energy as far as the Willie Lynch is concerned.
Mm.
But here is something that's also very key to that. It doesn't mean that we're not going to still have these obstacles and challenges that have been placed on the planet.
Right.
To me, that was symbolic to say that there's a part of you. I understand that when we get into our higher self, our spiritual self, one thing about our ancestors, they didn't separate the two.
Right.
There was no such thing as I'm going to go over here and be spiritual today, and then today I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be human, and then, oh, by the way, when I get ready to do this, I'm going to decide to be spiritual. Everything was seen as wholeness. It's one of the first laws of understanding of coming into just really getting to know yourself, the greatest question left. Know thyself. It's written on the temple wall. But that you could no longer close your eyes to what was going on. Because, in fact, if we're going to say that we are a part of this collective energy, collective movement, collective, I don't even like to use conscious, but collective group of people that is raising the frequencies and vibrations on the planet, then if you're not taking an honest look, like you said, at the wholeness, then you're sort of missing the big picture. You understand?
Yes, yes.
So
yes.
It's about bringing both of the hemispheres together. No longer is one needed. But really, it's coming in, the understanding of coming in through the heart, making its way through the left brain, and then being able to move over to the right side. And I know that that's where a lot of the blocks are, is that the left brain is not allowing that information to go over to the right side so the wholeness can be drawn from it. That's where you reach your spiritual enlightenment and all of these. And then there's a whole other part of that process, which deals with the lower half of the brain. But show us how this connects to the purpose. How deep does this go? Because we have so many people, and I know this is a big part of my work that I do, and so many brothers and sisters as well, is helping people to understand their purpose, understand their true divine purpose of coming here.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's like rich, what you just got through saying, so rich. Every time you hear someone say, I don't know what my purpose is, what they're really saying is, I don't know what my responsibility is in the universe.
If
I don't know what my responsibility is in the universe, that means I'm lost. For all intents and purposes, I'm lost. Now, you cannot find your way thinking your way. You can't think your way out of this shit.
No, you can't.
I know. I've tried, and I've been around a whole bunch of thinking.
I've tried, too.
Some thinking fools, and you cannot think your way out of this. Here's where I get, sometimes people be sad when I tell them this, because, you know, we've been competing for so long and comparing ourselves for so long, and we've been led to believe that certain positions in life are like the prestigious thing that we really feel like, oh, that must be what I come here to do. I must have come here to be the president. Listen, that's ego shit.
Yes.
All of us have the same basic purpose in life. And that is the full expression of your uniqueness.
That's right.
The universe has not gotten into this idea of, you know, what position you have and what's your title and how much money you make. That's the ego shit. The universe is interested in one thing, the evolution of life.
Yes.
The grand law of the universe says that all of us come into this place have to evolve. That's an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that causes the greatest amount of suffering is our attempt as human beings to resist evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you got to be ignorant. If you think you're going to come into this growing, constantly expanding thing, and you are going to refuse to grow. So purpose comes from, first, the level one, which is I have to be about my business of seeking to fully express my unique self. Now, here's what happens. When you get into the rhythm of fully expressing yourself, the true responsibility that you have in the universe is going to start talking to you from within every aspect of yourself, from your body, your mind and your spirit and your heart. It's going to speak to you. It's not going to talk to you like the conversations we be having with impressions out here are talking and running their mouth all the damn time. That's not how it talks.
No, it doesn't speak that way.
It's like, think about it like this. When you are certain of something, there's absolutely no reason to think about anything.
That's right.
So all thinking is generated as a result of us being in doubt about something.
Yes.
So when the self talks to us, the self never talks to us or give us anything that it's not certain of. Now, that's a heavy shit. Because if we learn to have faith and trust ourselves, we would be so on motherfucking time. Lord, they'd be like, God damn, who these niggas need?
On time.
Because,
oh, my God.
I mean, I'm serious. I mean, we'd be so on time because the self never communicates anything that it's not certain of, which means the deal is already done. All your ass got to do is show up.
That's right.
But we want to be so smart.
Yes.
That we outthink ourselves right up out of our blessing, right up out of our opportunity. We think ourselves right up out of our crown jewel. When all we have to do is like a wet dream. If you had a wet dream, all you got to do is stay asleep. Don't wake up. It should be. That's the same thing with how the self is trying to give us. It's trying to give us those constant wet dreams in life where we have the one orgasm after the other. All you got to do is show up.
That's it. And, you know, so much of that speaks to my work personally because there's so many things that I'm still learning and have learned. And it's such a beautiful and divine exchange when you see it going on, particularly when I'm doing Akashic Record readings because you brought up some points. And that's when I'm able to converse to people what they already know. And that's what makes it so profound. It removes the doubts of the voice that they've been hearing. I always often talk about this, is that your spiritual voice, your true self, your higher self, whatever we want to call it, your God mind, whatever we say that is not always the loudest voice.
No.
Because the universe does not judge. It has no reason to scream, to get emotional, to get upset, to get angry, to tell you to go jump off of a bridge, to tell you to go slap your brother, to tell you to kick your sister in the stomach. That's not your higher self talking to you.
No, it's definitely.
No. You know, that's not your higher self. That's not the part of you that's speaking. But it is that part of you where you can find that absolute harmony, that absolute balance within you. Now, the arrogance, don't get me wrong, because we're all here for different work, as I say, as Brother Ra Giva would say, different responsibilities. The action behind it may bring the foul fire, may bring the pain, may bring what you need to do. And this is not about judgment because everybody has their uniqueness. It's about understanding that all is needed. Absolutely everything is needed. You know, that's something that we can never forget. And that everybody is doing their work.
That's right.
The clue and really where the jewel is, are you doing yours? Because they're a sign or symbol to remind you of your work because we travel in soul groups. So that means that in my soul group, I'm going to have somebody that always rubs my ass the wrong way to remind me that's not my way. In my soul group, I'm always going to have that person, like for you, Rod Digger, it was that thing of your brother being the millionaire. You understand? But that is even there to remind you that's not your way. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish or achieve anything that you want to. But this is something that I learned and I've passed this on and I've said this on the show before. You can't ever shine brighter when you're standing in someone else's light. Your light can never be brighter than mine. trying to stand in my light, just like I would be a fool to stand in your light. Why would I want to do that when I have my own light?
You'd have to be
ignorant. Why would I want to do it? Yeah.
You have to be very ignorant. Yeah.
So beautiful.
You have to be very ignorant. You know?
I say, because
I'm from New Orleans, so when I say ignorant, I say ignorant, you know, because I've been ignorant. I've had willful, deep willful ignorance, and that deep willful ignorance is when you know you're wrong, but you try to sell it as right.
Yes, yes.
And I meet people from all around the world who, in their voice, in their vibration, everything about me tells me, this motherfucker is trying to make me believe that shit that they're saying, which goes against all common sense, makes sense. And he knows it don't make sense to his damn self. Because when he look at the fact that he didn't get the results he was looking for, common sense would tell you, change your method.
Yes, yes.
But we sometimes are so committed to the method, we're more committed to the method than we are to our heart and our own fulfillment in life. We come here to suffer.
And
I tell people all the time, I say, look, this is my definition of evil. My definition of evil is having a view that God ordained suffering as a way of life.
Right, right.
We didn't come here to suffer. Suffering, as the Buddha said, is a symbol of ignorance. Every time you see suffering, you're seeing ignorance. You're seeing someone not taking responsibility for something they were supposed to take responsibility for, and it was passed on either to the next generation or it caused them to suffer right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that the Buddha recognized. And I just bring it up because I'm not really stuck on any religion, you know, because God is everything and everywhere, right?
Right.
So, but what he noticed that among people, there were problems and conditions that were persisting through a span of time. Like one generation to the next, this family had the same damn problem. It kept being passed on. So he studied and looked at it. He said, something is wrong here. Something is incorrect about this. Because he noticed in nature that whenever nature had a problem, nature found a way to evolve beyond it.
Yes.
That's how nature solves its problems. So when he noticed that this family had not evolved beyond the problem that it had, so it was passed on from one generation to the next, he knew somebody was not evolving. Anytime you have a reoccurring problem in your life, you keep, like, for example, in your relationships, you break up around the same motherfucking time with the same, always, it could be a different person, relationship in at the same time, and for the same reason. That it's indicating that there's somewhere in your life where you are refusing to grow, which means you are refusing to take responsibility for shit that no one else can be responsible for but you.
Mm-hmm.
And until you take that responsibility, you're going to keep going in circles, like on a merry-go-round, until you take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he noticed. And he said, okay, so suffering is being caused because of ignorance, because he thought it was the absence of knowledge, that there was something somebody didn't know that they kept doing. But when I looked at it carefully, I was like, it ain't what it is.
Yes.
It is somebody not taking on responsibility.
Yes, I call it the circle jerk. The circle
jerk. You're talking about the dog chasing his tail.
That's the circle jerk. I want to read some of the comments because we put the questions up on Facebook on the Remix Family page. And so if you guys want to get yourself over to the Remix Radio page on Facebook and either read some of the comments, either on the Remix Facebook page, Remix group page, or in the Remix Family page, you can do that as well, too. And here we go. One of the questions is, and this is what we're talking about here, sort of the circle jerk, where you're repeating patterns in your life, you know, where these things are going on and they just continuously have themselves go on, and you're not getting the results that you want. Some of the things is my music and applying for graduate school, one person said, my personal economics. Another person said, another person said, unwanted results may be coming from how I speak my shit an agenda into existence.
Mm.
That's what one person said. Another one, in graduate school where I wanted to go in my career and how I can handle certain responsibilities, which is speaking exactly to what you're saying here. Here's another one that says, unwanted results in love and finance seem hand in hand, and they shouldn't be. Another person said relationships and self-confidence. Another one is the area of finances in my life. So these are some of the feedbacks from the Remix Listening Family that when we asked these three questions that we've been covering here, that they spoke to when it came to that position of really trying to understand where they're producing these results, these unwanted
right.
results in their life over and over again, sort of the circle jerk, yes.
Right. And Ms. Blue?
Yes.
Just how the ego does. The ego, one of the reasons why we don't end up evolving is because just like a person who is on, you know, maybe on drugs, you know, the first step is always the same. You got to admit that you're on the shit.
Yes.
If you don't admit that you're on the shit, if you don't admit to your own insanity, there's no way you're going to move towards sanity.
That's right.
And our ego is like us being operating under insanity. And if we can't step back and look at our insanity, what I mean by insanity is look at where in our life we've gone in circles. Like almost like in the movie The Matrix when Neo was stuck in the train station running back and forth, keeping it up in the same place.
Yes.
That's the insanity of the ego. Mm-hmm. And if we can't step back and say, damn, I keep going in circles. I got to be crazy. There's something wrong here.
Right, right.
That's the beginning of sanity, us admitting that we're insane in some area of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what they got to understand. If you are insane in one area of your life, your whole life is insane.
Yes. I can attest to that.
Yeah, that's what the ego wants you to fall into the belief that, oh, it's just happening in my intimate relationships. If it's in your intimate relationships, get that your life is one whole. It's not a piece. It's not pieces.
Yes. That's right.
You know, we've been living
right.
in this ego-driven world, so we have a fragmented view of what life is. Our life is not fragmented. It's whole.
That's
and
right.
if your shit is toxic in one area, it's toxic all over the place. It's just stronger in one area, you know. The shit smells
yes.
worse in one area than it do in another.
Yes.
But it's
yes.
all over your life.
Mm-hmm. So true.
So in acknowledging it, because what I found in working with the people that I've worked with around the world is that the greatest step is to admit, to strip ourselves naked and give our accurate location of where we are.
Yes.
I'm talking about like really say, okay, look, and do it in front of people that you've been trying to front with.
Right.
And this is where I really am. I
yeah.
really am in this situation. I really don't have a dime to my name. I really am lonely. I'm really tired of, you know, I'm really tired of being used. And whatever you think, wherever you think you are, admit to where you are first, because that's going to get
mm-hmm.
you to ground level. And when you get to ground level, that's when ego say, it ain't for me. I can't stay here. I can't hang around ground
right.
level. That's
right.
when self step in. And self said, now, look, I'm going to teach you something. I need you to trust me, though. I'm going to take you from ground level, and I'm going to build you back up. But what we would tend to do is that when self starts building us back up, we'll cheat on self and go right back to ego. Ego, we like know exactly
mm-hmm.
what to tell us to get us to just fall in love with ego all over again.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's a very good point. So that being said, how do you get out the circle jerk?
That's a real good question. Number one, it takes discipline. When I say discipline, I'm not talking about, you know, the old-fashioned discipline where it's a negative thing or you're going to be beating yourself up.
Right.
Discipline,
right.
means it takes a certain kind of knowledge. It takes a certain way. And when I say discipline, that's what I mean. It takes a certain way. And the certain way is, number one, you have to know that you can't not defeat your ego. You can't beat it.
That's right.
If you are fighting against it, you're going to lose. Because
yes.
When you went to college, the ego went to college with you.
That's right.
When you were studying them books, in late at night reading, you know, the self-help books and how you conquer this and how you conquer that. Your ego is right there reading the shit with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool because everything you were reading for positive, your ego will use against your ass.
It sure will. You know, I often says the greatest movie director ever is your conscious mind and your ego. Those two together will win any award because it will show you in live, living color everything about yourself. That's why one of the hardest things to do, and it's an exercise I give out often, is to look yourself in the mirror and challenge yourself to say, I love you. Not look somebody else in the eye. Look yourself in the eye.
Yes.
And say, I love you. And stand there and do it for 2 minutes. The ego is going to act like the Grammys and the Academy Awards is coming up for best director, best producer, because it's going to start showing you all kinds of pictures. I remember for myself, when I had to look in that mirror after going through a very, very bad divorce, getting laid off my job and almost homeless. And I had to look myself in the mirror because that's something typically that we do spontaneously, or we should be doing, when we get up in the morning and you're washing up, you're brushing your teeth, you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror.
Yes.
And I made it a point to say, I love you. I said, I wonder if I could do this for 2 minutes. Oh, it went good for the first 30 seconds. And by the way, 2 minutes was a long time. It was days I was looking at the clock going, this 2 minutes need to hurry up. Because I heard everything that I could have never thought about myself consciously come to surface. Because it is you facing yourself, you see. And that's what you're speaking to here, and it speaks to the work that I'm about and everyone who comes on this platform. It's about empowering yourself.
Yes.
But with that empowerment, it's almost like trying to get a goodie bag. Have you ever been to the store, and I'll just give this example so people can get it, because this was devastating to me the first time somebody did this and I seen what was in the goodie bag. And they say, well, you can buy this, and you can buy that. And if you buy them separately, it may cost you $40, $50. Or you can get this goodie bag over here, and you can pay $20, but you don't get to look and see what's in the goodie bag. Just know it's going to be some goodies. Okay. So I'm in the store shopping with one of my friends, and she's like, I'm going to get the goodie bag. Because the goodie bag is only $20, while you buying these three items, it's going to cost you $60.
Uh-huh.
I said, but you know what? I can only afford to get, at this time, one of these goodie items, and I'm just going to play my $20. And she was like, boo, that's crazy. Buy the goodie bag. I said, but I don't know what I'm going to get in that goodie bag, so I can't take that kind of chance. Now you can. I got my goodie bag, and I didn't get the goodie bag. I brought my one item that I knew I wanted. She paid that $20, and you know when you get to the register, they tell you, oh, you saved $40 today. She opened it up, and it was a bunch of junk. Nothing she had even thought about getting. And the reason I bring that up is because when you do that mirror exercise, you're looking in the goodie bag. For real. If you've never done it, it's goodie bag. Because a whole lot of stuff is going to come to the surface. And I remember being a little girl and hearing these words from my grandfather. And he wasn't even speaking to me. He was talking to one of my older cousins. And he said, your conscious does one or two things. It either accuses you or excuses you.
Hmm.
I didn't understand that for a long time. Excuses you. But he was talking about what you're speaking here tonight, responsibility. Hmm. And this is a refresher show for me because we all need these different reflections coming, these different angles of light that everyone is really trying to grasp on, because it gives me an opportunity to look at a different angle of what I'm doing, my work.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
This is why
I
was so excited to bring you on. Of course, for everybody listening, but definitely for myself, you know. So I'm loving this conversation.
Yeah, me too.
With
me
Ra
too.
Giver it's, here, Brother Ra Giver. So
this is a powerful conversation.
It is. It's a beautiful conversation. It's a needed conversation at this particular time. We can never have too many angles. We can never have too many angles. You know, each one of us, and this is some of the things that I've seen in the record, we have a fleet of 10,000 angels around us.
Hmm.
And as we begin to move closer to this time that everyone is looking for, what is actually happening is a lot of things is being lifted, you know, lifted. I remember when Heavy D passed and he was talking about, Heavy D talks about get lifted. You know, he was a heavyweight. He got lifted. This energy is being lifted up off of you. And so you're left in that state of pureness, you're left in that state of perfection, you're left in that state of wholeness. I am the first to tell everyone there's absolutely nothing wrong with you.
That's right. Nothing.
There's nothing wrong with you. There's not nothing wrong with how you came here. There's not nothing wrong with your mind. There is nothing wrong with you. Everything has been artificially inseminated.
That's right.
Artificially
right.
inseminated into you. So you carrying around things that is not even a part of you.
That's right.
That's where the problem comes in, is through this artificial insemination, you know, that we all have agreed to through these things, like you said, competition, not wanting to take responsibility, you know, just all of these things. It's how the artificialness begins to come in. And what
mm-hmm.
happens is it becomes so heavy that you can't find you. You see?
And you know what?
You know what?
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things that I found, and when I was looking at this and kept looking at it and kept looking at it and listening more than anything, listening to people, what I heard more than anything, because they were reminding me, by me listening to what their problem was, they were reminding me and telling me what the solution was. And this is what I heard. I heard that at the root of all of this was the belief that there wasn't enough.
Yeah, the lack.
And
that's
definitely
that. Mm-hmm.
That is so profound, because you find it in every bit of suffering, of every bit of willful ignorance. You find this belief that somehow somebody else is going to get my shit.
Yes.
And if I don't fight against them, if I don't beat them, if I don't prove that I'm better than them, if I don't do something to undermine them, when I get there, my shit's going to be gone.
That's right.
And that's driving right. just about the whole population through the ego, driving the whole population. And that's what causes us to behave like devils.
Mm-hmm.
We behave
mm-hmm.
like devils, even though we're not devils, because we are operating under the illusion that we don't have enough time. When we are ancient beings.
That's right. That's right.
We're ancient beings, and we're behaving like we about to run out of time. And we don't even understand where it originates from, but it was downloaded into us like a virus.
Yes.
Into your computer.
Artificially.
Like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's where we got it from, but it's rooted in this lack. When we begin to start developing a new belief system, which is based on the reality, which is there's more than enough, and we start sourcing our behavior from there, is when we start reconnecting with our higher self, because our higher self knows the truth. There's plenty.
That's right. That's
there's
right.
plenty. And matter of fact, there's so much. All you got to do is create it. Now, here's the problem. Ego doesn't know how to create.
Ego only knows how to recreate what already existed. The real self is the one that knows how to create from scratch.
That's right. That's it.
And that's the reason why responsibility is so important, because if we are recreating and creating, then responsibility is all we are left with. Okay, so if you create something, I need to make sure that you're going to take responsibility for what you create. If you recreate something, we need to make sure that you're going to take responsibility for what you recreated. So when you create a world where people are not taking responsibility, then you got a whole bunch of stuff being caused that no one want to raise their hand to taking responsibility for having caused it.
Right.
Which creates some serious problems.
I want to know, based upon your work and just the work you've been doing, Brother Raghava, why is there such a strong belief in lack?
For us, it was, that belief was backed up by physical pain. That we were not only told that there wasn't enough, we were whipped into submission to believe that there wasn't enough.
Right.
And so that anchored our body down in the pain of associated with lack, which caused us to believe in the illusion even more so. So it made it so difficult for us to be able to see that there's an abundance in the universe, because we were too afraid to even look.
Right. Yes.
And so when we have some legitimate reasons, so to speak, of why it has taken us so long. And that's the reason why Woody Lynch said it would take a phenomenon to undo this. And basically the phenomenon would be when we would get to that point to where, number one, we would stop comparing ourselves to each other.
Right.
Because, see, you're not going to come out of this until you stop comparing yourself. It's cool to recognize and acknowledge that someone is different from you and appreciate the difference. But it's not natural for you to look at them and assess a value to a human life based upon what you see other people have and you don't have. That's not natural.
Right. Right.
That does not support growth and development. So the pain associated with us being forced into situations of lack reinforced our belief in it, because our body believed it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's going to take physical, mental, and spiritual action for us to, like, take immediate and definite action on the inside of ourselves to transform the belief from the body. And here's how it starts from the body: eating right, exercising. We got to retrain our body that there's abundance in the universe. Stop eating all this garbage.
Right.
Start getting up in the morning, start taking some deep breaths of air. We got to train, because, see, the body is it must be trained. It's not going overnight. You jump up out of bed and all of a sudden, you know, you've been eating Twinkies and eating, you know, chicken wings all day long, and you're going to jump up and go run no marathon. That's not how life works.
Right. As you know, the crazy thing is, for everything, for our bodies, for our mind, how we think spiritually, all of these things have to be definitely retrained, reprogrammed, you know, get back into alignment, get back into sync. So let me ask you, Raghava, in your opinion, how deep in this rabbit hole are we? Really, how deep are we?
Wow, that's a good question, because in terms of deepness, I would say we at the very bottom of it, which means we are on the way out. So my viewpoint, we're at the very bottom of it, which means we're on the way out. There's nowhere left to go but out.
It's nowhere else to go but out. Yes.
There's nowhere else to go but out. Because the rabbit, when you look at how the Matrix used this whole analogy, the symbolism of the rabbit, you find that the rabbit is the most hunted animal of prey. You know, in other words, animals of prey love the rabbit because the rabbit is easy eating. It has no defense mechanism other than screwing. That's why the rabbit reproduces at a high level, because it stays in survival mode, so it's always having sex because that's the only way it stays in existence, because it reproduces at a higher level. It keeps having sex, right?
Right.
So now, when you look at the nature of the rabbit, we're talking about the nature of the mind. Our mind has been transformed into the nature of a rabbit. We went from having a mind that has the nature of God in the mind, transformed or devolved all the way into the nature of a rabbit. So you look at, we have hip-hop, right? We have hip-hop music. When I was growing up, we used to go to record hops. We have the language of rabbits. We have player, you know the player, you know, you look at the Playboy Bunny. Which is a rabbit. So we have player, and then the player transformed into a baller. But this is all rabbit language. This is all language used from a rabbit mind that sees the most important thing as screwing. All right? Then I'm gonna tell you, let's be straightforward. Let's put it on the table. I've been around men all around, successful men, unsuccessful men. And when you listen, at the end of the day, the conversation about why they got the car, why they went after the big house, why they want to win the fight, why they want to win the race, at the end of the day, it's for one reason: they wanted some pussy. At the end of the day, the drive was sex.
Right.
Now, that's rabbit behavior, because you ain't going to evolve out of these conditions by screwing. You can't screw your way out of these conditions. Now, the rabbit also has some other features. If you study the rabbit real close, it has big eyes and big ears.
Yes.
Right? So the rabbit mind, whatever it see, it won't. It don't care how it was produced. Don't care where it come from. Don't care if it's natural, unnatural. I just want it. So we become complete consumers. We don't produce nothing. We just eat up everything. Big eyes. And then the big ears. Now, this is what we're listening for. The rabbit has big ears because it has to listen for danger. It has to be very acute because, it has to hear danger coming far, far away.
Right.
Now, here's the thing that scares the rabbit mind to death. Responsibility. The rabbit mind, when it's listening for responsibility, anywhere it hears responsibility is coming, it runs. Because that is the thing that's going to transform that rabbit mind back into the God mind by taking on the responsibility one at a time. Responsibility is you, what you need to know about self. And as you learn about self, you grow and you evolve. Listen, experience is not the greatest teacher. Responsibility is.
I agree with you. Yes.
And let me tell you why. We make and create our own experiences. Experience is not something that happens to you. We have things happen to us all the time, but that's not the experience. The experience is what we make out of what happens to us. So you don't get paid, and your experiences ain't your greatest teacher, but your responsibilities will always be your greatest teacher, because in that they are teaching you how to exercise the natural, unique abilities that you were given and how to perform them in the real world, like on the field for real. So when you ask how deep you are in the rabbit hole, how much consumerism do you see, how much just sex drive, all we can focus on is sex, how much we're running from responsibility, that's how deep we are in the rabbit hole. So anywhere in your life where you're running from responsibility, where you're only focused on the opposite sex or sex, where you're only looking for material stuff, you want things, that's how deep you're in the rabbit hole.
That's it. Brother Raw Giver. Brother Raw Giver. I love that name, by the way. I told you that.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Well, it's a great discussion that we're having here, and a needed discussion, and I always love it. Like I said, we have so many amazing brothers and sisters who come on the platform and really begin to express their angles of light. And so tonight, this is the remix first, you coming on, being able to express this angle for us.
so that we can begin to digest this and take a look at this in so many different ways. What I want to do is soon we're going to open up the lines for questions because we have about an hour left to go in the forum. We do have the after hours, of course, the remix. We have that time as well, too. So I do want to let you guys know 646-652-2711 is the number to call. You can call in, press 1 when you get on the phone lines if you have a question for Brother Ra Giver. Now, for those of you who want to contact Brother Ra Giver, and you can contact him to find out more about his work. He has a book that's going to be released here soon, coming out soon here, and lots of other projects on the way. Let me give you the email address. It's going to be Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, and then Ragivah, R-A-G-I-V-A-H, at gmail.com. So there you go. It is Father Ragivah at gmail.com. So that's the contact information. You want to lock that in. You can also get yourself on the phone line. 646-652-2711 is the number to call, and press 1. I know that okay, somebody's telling me we have 25 hours remaining. Sometimes Blog Talk says, you know, when we get in the remix, you actually go to a place where time and space just doesn't exist. So sometimes it will tell you 25 hours remaining as to let you know that there is no time. You can just continue on with this discussion as we're talking about this. I want to go to one of the other questions while before we start taking callers and read some of the other comments that everyone, and by the way, you guys, you did an amazing job of this, of answering these questions so honestly and freely. So we're going to take a look at this question, and then I'll let you address it, Brother Ra Giver, and that is, what conversation are you avoiding? And so here are some of the responses. One of them is the question of the legitimacy of my DL, I guess, with my parents, and the status of a potential relationship with those involved. Another person said, a conversation with the brother I like. A conversation with the brother I like. Another sister said, I am avoiding a lot of relationship questions due to having to deal with too many damn jackass beta boys who's still sucking on they mama titties while reaching out for mine.
Wow.
Hey, I'm just reading, you guys. You laugh. I'm just reading it. It's the remix. Okay. Another sister said, the conversation she's avoiding is with my family and all the generational secrets that no one will attempt to talk about, and the relationship we have with one another. Very serious there. Here's another one. Where should I currently be in my life? It's avoided because I feel incomplete, as if I'm missing, or have missed something. That's what someone else is saying there. And then the conversation of this is, I avoid conversations about my past. So these are some of the questions.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, they went in. They went in.
Yeah, they went all the way in.
So let's talk about those conversations that we're avoiding and why we're avoiding them. Again, we know it's responsibility, but speak to that.
Right. And this is beautiful, because if you notice something, it's going to keep bringing us back to responsibility, because at the root, the universe knows this one thing, that if you don't take the responsibility, you can't grow and evolve. So there's a fail-safe mechanism in the universe itself
that is designed to keep you going in circles until you pick the responsibility up. Because we all, to come into this reality, had to agree to certain responsibilities.
That's right.
So the universe said, you sure you want to do that? Oh, I got that. Don't worry about it, Lord. I got it covered. And then when we got here, we developed the ego, and we left the job. We went on a lunch break and never came back. So in that part of your life where you are running from this conversation is where you're on a lunch break and haven't come back to work yet. And guess what? The man know you on a lunch break. He's not going to pay you for being on a lunch break.
Right.
You're on your own. That's cold, but it's fair. You're on your own.
Yes, yes.
So what I mean by, you know, in all seriousness, what I mean by coming back to work is this. This is never going to be easy when you abandon your responsibility for a while or you're not clear about what your responsibility is and you abandon it. No one who does that is in a hurry to come back to the responsibility. It's like leaving your house. When you're gone and you forgot about it, when you come back, the grass is high. There's grass growing through the floor. You know, dishes dirty. You got to clean up. And you're looking at a whole bunch of work. And so now here's where the test of your mettle, what you're really made of, because there's no magic wand to this. There's no way to get around this.
Right.
The least thing that you're going to have to do is to face the conversation. Because if the only thing that doesn't want to face the conversation is your ego, yourself is waiting to show you how powerful you really are by showing up to the conversation. Because think about it now. You are running from some fucking words. Can I say it again? You are running from some words. You're running from some words. And you're running from the meaning that you have given to those words. So your ego has given meaning to the words that causes pain and suffering in you. Here's what you got to do. You got to redefine the damn words. Now, here's what I mean. If experience is not what you go through, right? If experience is what you make out of what you go through, all right?
Yes.
That means experience is something we're creating based upon our own interpretation of the event we went through. Now, there's no rule in the universe that says if I go through a painful event that I have to create a painful experience from it.
So true. That's true.
But the ego says if you go through a painful event, you got to also create a painful experience. And then what that does, it sets us up to not have the conversation about it, so we run. And we run most of our lives. We run from our relationships with people. We run from facing conversations that will cause us to have to deal with our real self. And get what I'm saying. The pain that you're experiencing is not real. It is all in your ego. It's all in your mind. It's not real. But you're not going to discover that it's not real until you turn and face it. It's like in the movie The Matrix, when everybody ran from the agents, and that moment when Neo turned and faced the agent, and they ask Morpheus, what is he doing? He's beginning to believe in himself. The conversation you're running from is an illusion, an illusion of fear. Your imagination is making up all the stuff about why you can't have it. But there's no way, I promise you, there's no way around this but for you to turn and walk toward it and start having it. The minute you start having it, you're going to see that you are equipped with the ability to have it and then some. They are stuff in families that families have been hiding because they are afraid of what people may think. But at the same time, people in the family are suffering. For generations, they've been suffering because somebody in the family, because all it takes is one person to have enough courage to start having the conversation.
You're right. And, you know, it's
one person, like you said, to start having this conversation, and a lot of them are very, very serious conversations. This is something that I deal with, particularly these things in the readings from people, a lot of their pain, a lot of things that have been interpreted as pain. And on this human, very, very divine level, it is very traumatic. There are some levels, of course, that we can understand that, you know, we have chosen sort of this soul group that we have come back to come in. And some of these lessons are not written in stone as we would really think. Sometimes we tend to think that things just happen, but nobody is free-falling here. You know, no one is free-falling here. This is something that often we talk about on the Remix a lot. It is about our responsibility. It is about us understanding these things, you know, really understanding them on these different levels. And like you said, really recognizing and having this conversation. But I want to be clear here, and then I'll let you speak to this as well, Brother Rog Giva. This is not so much necessarily because I've seen this go wrong. You may never get your uncle, your daddy, your mother, your sister, your brother, your ex-boyfriend, your ex-wife, your baby mama, your baby daddy, the neighbor across the street, your boss at work, the people who live above you, the people who live below you, your cousin across the country, or somebody you ran into from work to acknowledge your pain.
That's right.
The first person that has to be able to come to grips with and have that conversation is with yourself.
That's right. It all
comes back to you. So just as difficult is that opposition is being met with, know that that is just your reflection of the situation. And that's key. Because sometimes we don't want to see what role we're playing in a lot of these situations that have been taking place in our life. And so that's where I see the responsibility being key. Because we have to see where we can begin to take our responsibilities at.
That's big.
And
Ms. Blue, that's where, you know, the work that I do with people, that's where the greatest struggle comes in. And that's why I take some time with people to make a clear distinction between an event or something that happened to you versus an experience.
Right.
Because
it's not you. You are not
you.
You're not these experiences that has happened to you or these events even that happened to you. That simply is not you. You're not your past, even though we know there is some relevance from learning things from the past. But you're not your past. You don't have to be
not.
It in that way. Yes.
And what's happening is because we haven't understood the language, because there's a language barrier right here.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand the language, which means you are responsible for your response for your experience. Now, it's important to hear what that means.
Yes.
You are responsible for your experience, but you are not responsible for what happened to you, in a sense. And what I mean by that is this. When the event took place in your life, even though it's connected to your agreement, the way you put it together created the experience, and it's the experience that you're struggling with. But the experience can be deconstructed. But at the same time, I don't even like going down that road because what ends up happening is the more you deconstruct it, the ego reconstructs it.
Yes, it does.
And so it ends up being like a circle jerk. You keep chasing around this thing in your head because you're trying to outthink the ego. You're not going to outthink the ego because that's what the ego do. It thinks all damn day.
All day.
So the antidote for this is no matter how ugly your ego paints you to be, accept it.
Yes.
And take away the sting from it. And that's what I mean by facing the conversation. Whatever the ego is trying to make you afraid of in your mind, don't worry about it. Still face it, because you're going to figure out that when you start having a conversation, it wasn't real in the first place. But you can't have it with your back turned to the conversation. It doesn't happen that way.
It doesn't.
We live in a world. We live in a world that's driven by communication. There's absolutely nothing that's happening in this world that is not happening because of some communication. Everything you see moving is being moved by some form of communication. So right now, your life is moving in the direction it's moving because you are resisting some communication. So that resistance in your communication can't help but attract resistance in your life. So the things that you desire, the things that you want, cannot come to you because you have resistance that's pushing that shit away.
Right.
So this is the thing that you have laid in front of yourself as sort of like a exercise, like going in the gym. There were certain exercises I didn't like to do physically, but I had to do it because it was the part of the muscle that needed to be built the most, or the part of the body that needed to be built the most. I remember I had this personal trainer that was a female, right? And she didn't tell me that she was 5 months pregnant when she was training me. She had been doing exercises. She had been doing exercises. I was dying, right? And she's doing them. I ain't breathing hard. I'm dying. And I was like, "Ooh, we got to keep doing this." She said, "Yeah." She said, "You know what?" She said, "You know what? Most guys come in the gym, and they only want to do the big bird exercises." And I said, "What's the big bird exercises?" They want to do chest and all. They want to do chest and all. They don't want to work on what they call your core muscles.
Right.
Getting your stomach in shape, you know, and doing sit-ups. And she had me doing core work. She had me doing core work. I'm dying. And she said, you can't do that. I'm 5 months pregnant. I was so embarrassed. She was 5 months pregnant doing the stuff I was training and howling and screaming about.
Wow.
We have created things in our life that are like core muscle groups that we have to work on. And until we go through those conversations, which are like core muscle workouts, you are not going to get your stomach in shape. You're going to keep having the flabby butt. You're going to keep having the big stomach. You're going to keep being out of shape in your mind. You're going to keep being overweight in your mind because you're carrying that weight around, and that weight has to manifest some kind of weight in your life.
Yes.
So if you want to lose weight, if you want to get on the toilet and drop that load, you got to have that conversation.
Yes. You got to dump it.
You got to dump it.
Dump it as soon as possible.
ASAP.
Yes, there you go. The science is dumping it. He knows what time it is, Remix. He knows what time it is. Dump it. Dump it right away.
Shit, I'll get off the pot. There's other people that want to dump it.
That's right. Got to dump it. So true. So necessary and so true. We're going to go to the phone lines because I know you guys have questions. And so if you have a question for Brother Raw Giver, call in 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And press 1 once you get on the phone lines. We have about 42 minutes left to go in the forum before we actually get into the after hours. And we continue here with this very, very delightful, refreshing conversation and looking at different angles of all of the work that everyone is about, everyone who comes to the Remix and everyone here, you guys as well. So we're going to go to the first caller calling in from area code, it looks like, 334. You're live in the Remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Miss Blue. Hi, Brother Wagiva. This is Sheena from Montgomery.
Okay, greetings, Sheena.
Hi. I just want to say thank you so very much for doing this show, because it's just like hitting some points of just some things that I've been dealing with this week, and especially today, and just really taking responsibility for my life. And I just totally agree. But my question is something that my ego has just really, just most of my life has just really prevented me from being my authentic self, just always worrying about what people think. About me, which probably I'm sure stems from a lack of just low self-worth. And I understand where it's coming from. I totally accept it, but how do I really overcome this? How can I be myself and speak my truth and not worry about what people are going to think about me, like you're doing, like Ms. Boo doing, you know, just say what I want to say and, you know, not worry about how other people are going to take it, and so that I can live my life and be happy.
Now, that's you know, what you're asking, a very good question. And the first thing that I'm going to tell you right up front, there's no like shortcut to this shit. You are going to have to strip. You have to strip butt naked. I don't mean walk around with no clothes on. What I mean is, you have to start giving people your accurate location and stop caring what they think about what your accurate location is. See, there's no way to really put the ego in its place unless you put the ego in its place. And the only way to put the ego in the plate its place is to make it is to shame it. And what I mean by it is that so the ego won't feel eager to show up. All you got to do is tell the truth about the ego. So you say, look, this is where I really am. Give your accurate location. Here is a story that I used to tell the women in the group that I work with. Don't you imagine that this woman is having an affair with this man. She's been married for 10 years, but she's been secretly having an affair with this guy. They meet at the hotel secretly. Nobody knows about it. He gets there before her. And then she gets there, they do their thing, he leaves early, and she waits around till the coast is cleared and she leaves, all right?
Mm-hmm.
On this particular occasion, he leaves and she's sticking around, she starts having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
All right? She's having a heart attack, she gets on her cell phone, she calls 911. And she says to the operator, I'm having a heart attack, please send a paramedic. And the operator asks her that magic question.
Where's your location?
And she says, guess what? I can't tell you.
Oh.
All right. Now, I want you to understand something. What you are doing when you do not give your accurate location,
mm-hmm.
what you are saying to the universe is, look, I need help, but I don't want nobody to know I need help. And so don't waste your time.
Okay.
So whatever help the universe would be sending to you, you send it back by not giving your accurate location.
Okay.
So the reality is you got to stop playing games with yourself. Because I tell people this all the time. If you really knew what people thought about you, you would really stop wasting your time.
You sure would.
Because
when you
think people are thinking about you, people ain't thinking. Man, people think about picking their nose.
Yes.
pulling their drawers out of their crack. People ain't thinking about you. But you
yes.
have your mind on, and it ain't their thoughts, it's your thoughts of what you think and they're thinking about you. And trust me, sister, it's a waste of time.
And I want to give you this to take with you, too. Another way that will help you with really just expressing this, because it's really just coming out of that place of communication, you know, that energy center within you. It's really about helping others quietly, without expecting sort of the praise, the gratitude, and the rewards. Because when you're able to get into that place, you truly know your location.
Yes.
It's just like right now, if somebody were to say, a plane is going down, would you jump up and volunteer and say you're going to go stop the plane from going down if you don't know how to fly?
No.
You wouldn't do it. So really one of the ways to do it, and this is really from an honest point of view, and I'll tell you this, spiritually, you know how I do, you know, as well, is for you to help people without having to say, look at me, look what I did something good, I helped this person,
right,
or
right,
even
right,
expecting
right.
something back.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So not expecting anything back, and that's when you're going to get into your healing. That's when you're going to start to understand exactly where you're at, because it's going to be through all of those reflections that you're going to be able to find your location. It'll be like an internal GPS that says, beep, 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 beep. You know how when you go in the mall, it says, you are here.
Yes.
And so
I feel
when you're...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I'm saying, and I am there because I'm working with the youth, and I'm doing things that I love. But there's just so much resistance that's just been coming up.
Right.
Now
you know
for
why?
Me.
You know why the resistance is there? I want you to go back, and I know we're not going to get into readings tonight, but it's almost impossible to do at this point mm-hmm. because you're reaching from such an honest level. I want you to go back and think about your resistance you gave your parents based upon your pain when you were their age.
Hmm.
Oh, yes.
You're dealing with people who don't know their children, who don't know their location.
Yes.
And they cannot separate an experience from their pain. They don't know how to do it, just like you don't know how to do it. One of the reasons you're working with children is so you can begin to heal yourself. But go
That's
in.
That's right.
As I would say, many others would say, Brother Panic, everybody who's been on the platform, you're not there to teach them anything. This is
That's
really
right.
you learning. You're in the seat of the student.
You in the hospital as a patient.
Oh,
as
my God.
Patient.
Oh, my God, that's just opened up just a level of understanding. Thank you. It's like I see it clear.
Yes. When you can do that, then you're going to find everything is going to start to come into place. So all of these frustrations, just go back and think when you were coming up. Think about all the things that you had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. You know, tonight, and I'll just share this personal story, my daughter was in the talent contest. The young boy that he's in the talent contest, when they started going through this, his mother went in the hospital. Now, there's a couple of things that's happening. Like, his life went from being wonderful to being turned upside down in an instant. His mother went to the hospital because she wasn't feeling well, and she's never left. She's still there. She's dying of cancer.
Mm.
His family has flown in because they're leaving on Monday to take them away. You understand? But every day this young boy gets up, gets his brother dressed, takes him to school, and takes himself to school, and he performed tonight like his life was depending on it.
Mm.
And it truly is. So a lot of times we see people, and this is in everybody's work. I'm not excused from it, reading energy, whatever. It doesn't matter. There is a lot that a person comes to you with. And I understand it from the point of the records. So you're bringing hundreds of thousands sometimes of you to the table that you're trying to put together. So imagine a child trying to figure this out. But you're in the right space,
mm-hmm.
and you know your location, and they're going to help you find it. That's why you're there. We all know where to go to find the location. The remix is the location.
And you know what was so powerful and profound is the one thing that we most of us miss out on, and that's listening.
Yes.
You need to be very acute in listening. Know that listening makes up 2/3 of your communication. Stop talking so damn much and start listening.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start listening, you're going to start hearing exactly what you need to so you can administer the right medicine to yourself. You got to listen carefully. The ego wants to talk all the time. It wants to talk even when your mouth is closed. It's talking in your head, constantly running
mm-hmm.
in your mouth. Focus your listening to hear that still voice inside yourself that is never in a hurry, always calm.
Yeah.
It's not mad. It's not upset. You could have won the lottery, and the way your true self would say to you, it would say, "Oh, you won the lottery today."
That's right. It would not scream. It would not yell. It would not do any of that. None of that.
That's what you are trying to get back in contact with. You're trying to reconnect your communication to that voice.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Very welcome.
Peace and love to you. Peace and love. Peace and love. All right. Beautiful. Beautiful. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines. And if you have a question for Rob Giva. And also, one of the things I want to ask you, Rob Giva, so what is it? I want you to explain this to everyone from your angle. What is it that people are really, that we're really trying to prove?
Well, it's not us trying to prove it. It's the ego trying to prove it. The ego
well,
is trying to prove, the ego is trying to prove that it's better than the self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's a recipe for bipolar, as I say.
What? That's insanity. But the ego is always trying to prove it's better than the self. So when your self, because what you do, your ego is looking at yourself. It's like, okay, when you have that pure moment of honesty and your heart feels so good, the ego does, it comes back around and it wants to duplicate that moment.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it is about trying to get the same thing to happen over and over again because it thinks that that moment was the end-all, be-all, the grand moment of life.
It's like getting high and trying
exactly.
to go back and get that same feeling again. Yep.
So
yep.
it's constantly trying to recreate that. But it doesn't understand the nature of life. The nature of life is that we are only in the now.
That's
so the reality is all of us come to this moment as neophytes. We're all beginners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do one of two things. Either we're going to recreate what is already there, which means the ego is going to step in and do it, or we're going to create something totally new, which is going to require us to fully express ourselves.
So true. So true.
And that's what we have in every now moment is the opportunity to either recreate or create. The ego cannot create. It can only recreate. The self creates. And to be able to create from the self, you got to be wide open.
That's right.
You got to be vulnerable. Your heart got to be open. You might even look like a fool to some people. But it's only because they don't understand what living really looks like.
That's true. So true. Very well said. Yes. I always say, and Baby Blue says, if nothing else moves you, life will.
It damn sure will.
Yes. If you don't move yourself, the goal is to move yourself. Because if life moves you, you don't know where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
It's like getting on a plane without a destination. You don't know where you're going to end up. All right.
Like,
so now.
Like the pilot said, there's a joke the pilot says. It says, look, I got good news and bad news. The good news is, he said, well, the bad news is we lost. He said, the good news is we're making good time.
We're making good time.
We're making good time. We don't know where the hell we're going, so the time don't even matter.
That's right.
Until you don't have no more.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good. We're going to go to the phone lines. Calling in from area code 216. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 216? Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Let's see. 216. We'll go to the next caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
216, yes, you there?
Yes.
Okay, greetings. Who's on the line, please?
Hi, my name is Crystal, and I'm calling from Cleveland.
Okay, what's your name again?
Crystal.
Crystal. Greetings, Crystal. You have a question for Brother Rob Giva?
No, actually, I didn't have a question, but I am enjoying listening to the show.
You're welcome. All right,
bye.
Keep listening. Peace and blessings. Hold the line. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 843. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 843. Hold on. make sure you guys hear me. You guys, definitely what we're going to do is we have 25 minutes left in the form, and definitely 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines if you're calling in for a question for Brother Ra Gibba. So we're going to continue the conversation here, but we're going to leave those phone lines wide open for everyone here in the forum. Are you still with me? Can you guys still hear me? I think we lost Brother Ra Gibba.
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, we couldn't hear you. Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to other people.
I'm like, okay, what happened? Okay, so no, you're still here. So we're going to continue the conversation here. And, you know, lots of discussion, like I said, going on over on Facebook. And even with the questions, people really, you know, taking the opportunity to answer the questions that we had posed to them. I'm going to go and pull up some more of those questions here. But I want you to speak to for us about, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot here on the Remix is just about sort of moving ourselves, evolving ourselves, you know, to the next level, whatever that may be, next level in consciousness. You know, of course, we're coming upon 2013. You know, lots of things are changing around us, and yet so many things are staying the same. And so when it comes to us trying to get ourselves in that rightful position where we can begin to take responsibility, but yet we're challenging, what do you say to someone, perhaps, because we have a lot of people who have been affected by maybe Hurricane Sandy, who is in this position, or maybe they were in this position before, where they're actually having a hard time trying to figure out what their responsibility is?
Hmm. Well, I would say this, that this whole relationship with responsibility is a very delicate one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when you see dysfunction show up in your life, and what dysfunction simply is when you see yourself going in circles, you know dysfunction is present. Because
mm-hmm.
the natural function is to go forward. So when we start seeing ourselves go in circles, we know we have dysfunction. So just take for example, if you are having dysfunction in D and you started at A, so you went A, B, C, and you got to D, and you start going
right.
in circles. All right. Now, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to trace back, you're going to have to go back to C, or maybe B, or A. Because somewhere along the line, there was a responsibility you failed to take that was going to teach you about the next responsibility. And because
right.
you didn't take that one on, you didn't get the knowledge you needed to take on the next responsibility, so you end up going in circles.
Yes.
All right? So when we find ourselves going in circles, here's what needs to happen that we really have been practicing. We got to start listening carefully to what comes out of our mouth. We got to start policing it. And everything that comes out of our mouth that does not match us or align with what we are desiring to live, we got to start purging it from our communication.
Yes.
So we don't
mm-hmm.
practice that, all right?
Okay.
But as you start purging it from your communication, what you're doing is you're getting the garbage out of the way so you can hear your real voice. So that your real voice, yourself, could start teaching you the responsibility that you missed to get you back on time.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, a lot of us are delinquent in
mm-hmm.
our life. We're behind on our own development because we ran from a responsibility. And I'm telling you something. I got to be
mm-hmm.
perfectly honest with you. There is no damn magic wand for this shit.
No.
You got to get busy working on it now or you're going to stay where you are. There's no magic wand.
Right.
There's no thing that's going to come along and abracadabra, and you're going to be on point. You're going
right.
to have to get what you missed. That's just the fact of how the universe works. Now,
that's
the way
right.
to speed it up. The way you speed it up is by being completely honest about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Stop fronting in front of other people. Stop, you know, putting on a show and airs for other people, because the person that's suffering as a result of your showtime is you.
That's right.
Take yourself out
that's
of the
right.
rat race. Take yourself out of the showboating and the fronting and the keeping up with the Joneses and the Kardashians, because all that shit is bullshit, and start listening to the reality about where you are and start moving toward it. Simple as that.
And start moving toward it. Beautiful, beautiful. That's right. Know your magic, and you know magic is making a greater individual commitment to yourself. We're going to go to the phone lines. Let's see. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 404. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Blue. What's up, Brother Brother Ra?
How you doing,
Greetings.
Brother?
Greetings. Greetings. Who's on the line?
This is Griff from Atlanta.
What up, Griff?
What's going on, guys? I'm loving the show, by the way, man. It's real, real powerful. Just like everybody come on here, it's really what we need at the time. I had a question about responsibility and commitment. For myself, I don't like to commit shit. I don't like to commit nothing. I don't like to commit to my mate. I don't like to commit to car note, nothing. I don't like the commitment. So I want to just understand, like, what's the difference between the two? Like, what do I need to know to help me, you know, get past what I'm struggling with?
Right from the very start, I know that if you don't want to commit, you're already heavily attached, though.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between attachment and commitment. Now, what I mean by that, see, you attach to your woman, you don't want her to do no shit that you don't want her to do because you see her as a piece of property. That's your shit. You attach to it. You attach to your car, too. So there's a difference. When you are in your life and you attach to shit, in other words, you have defined who you are based upon what you have or what you don't have. So when you are attached to something, it's hard to be committed to it. Because when you're committed to something, it causes you to have to treat the other person like they're a full human being. And attachment don't allow us to do that. Attachment is what comes from the ego. So the ego says to itself, man, having this makes me A, B, or C. If I lose this, then I'm not going to be that no more. All right? Now, what commitment does, commitment brings about the true self, and the true self then rises above all of that shit. And you got to let people be free. So you got to really take the real, you're taking like the real repetitiveness out of your life, and now things are going to start happening organically, right? Now, here's where responsibility come in at. You have been equipped to respond to natural life. When you become attached to something, you're taking the naturalness out of life. You're making life a repetitive thing where you can close your eyes and the same thing happen over and over again. You ever seen the movie Groundhog Day?
Oh, yes.
Well, in the movie Groundhog Day, the motherfucker's stuck on the same day over and over again, having the same conversations with the same people every day around the same time. His life is so predictable, there ain't nothing new happening. And when we stop committing, because the only thing we can commit to is ourselves. When we stop committing to ourselves, we stop making commitments to other people. You feel me what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what you got to do is first move out the attachment. You got to stop being attached to shit. You got to stop defining yourself based upon what the shit you have or what shit you don't have, because none of it have anything to do with who you are. And get clear about self has some shit that it's come here to do, that it got to do, and if it don't do it, you ain't going to feel your power. Because having all that shit or having a woman and her doing this and that shit ain't real. The only way you're going to really feel your power is by taking on the responsibilities of your greater self, and you know, you're a powerful brother. And that's some shit, there's some powerful shit you come here to do, but you got to take it on, and then it's going to teach you how to commit to shit. It's going to teach you how to be committed to yourself in your work, you're committed to yourself in your relationship. And when you're committed to yourself, you're committed to the person who's committed to you.
That's right. And why wouldn't you be? Yeah.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you be? Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful.
All right. I'm download. So I can play this.
Yeah.
Miss Blue tell me the same stuff over and over too. It's just, you know, I'm just struggling, but I am doing something about it. I'm trying.
Yes, you are.
Trying hard.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And stop. You're not trying. You got to stop trying and start doing.
Right. Exactly.
And here's something, Griff. I want you to take with you. You know, life is a circle from childhood to childhood. Think about that. Mm. Life is a circle from childhood to childhood. So you have to commit.
Mm.
You're going from childhood to childhood.
Exactly. Yeah. And 'cause this is a cycle. You know, you're carrying on the same generational cycle as your daddy.
Yeah.
Your dad is dead. They didn't commit either.
Yeah,
but they didn't commit.
Yeah.
So what you're doing, they passed this shit on to you, so now you're carrying the weight. Now, this is what you could do. You could step up like a man and bring the cycle to an end by simply taking on the responsibility of committing to yourself. This is all this is about. This is about having the nuts to commit to yourself.
And, man, I feel that so much because I know, like, I really barely even know my dad, and I feel him. I can feel myself carrying, you know, his weight.
Mm. Yeah. Don't judge him, though. Don't judge him. Cause don't judge him because that makes you carry it even more so. So you got to look at whatever he did gave you an opportunity. You remember the story of David and Goliath, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, you had this big old giant standing outside making fun of the king and all his soldiers, just basically punking them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The king's scared to go fight the motherfucker, and the soldier's scared to go fight him too. Here come this young boy that got a fight, that really got to convince them to let him go fight him. So he convinces them, say, let me go fight this motherfucker for you. So the king don't believe he's going to win. So the king say, okay, go ahead. You go and fight him. David go out there and kick the giant ass. Now, the giant represents responsibility. And sometimes in our life, responsibility seems like a big old damn giant to us. But if you don't go take that motherfucker on, what's going to happen is some little boy going to come and take on that responsibility and going to get all the blessings that your ass was supposed to get because he took the responsibility on and your ass didn't. David ended up becoming the king because David took on the responsibility the motherfucking king was afraid to take on.
Right.
We got to step up to the plate because our wealth is sliding out our community because we won't step to the giant like a giant is supposed to step to a motherfucking giant. We giants, it just look like we ain't, but we giants inside. And we are equipped to handle any motherfucking responsibility that life throw at us. We got to stop running from them. I don't care how they look because they're all an illusion. You are equipped with all the shit you need to be the king that you are, brother. Step up to the plate. That's all you got to do. It's going to teach you the rest once you make that step. Step up to the plate.
All right.
That's
big nuts.
Be blessed,
all
brother.
All right. Peace and love to you, Griff. Peace
all right.
and
Thank
love.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We're going to go to the next caller, you guys. We have about 12 minutes left to go in the form before we actually get ready to get to the after hours with Brother Ra Gibba. Again, I want to give out his email address so you guys can contact him, stay in contact with him, find out more about his work, upcoming projects and books and things that he has going on. Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, Gibba, G-I-V-A-H, at gmail.com. So, Ra Gibba. So we're going to go to the phone lines. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 619. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Well, hello, remix fam. This is Nakia in San Diego.
Okay, greetings to you, Nakia, in San Diego.
I just probably caught the last 30 minutes or so, but I do have a question. It's been coming up in my house probably over the last week. Everybody is hearing this high-pitched tone in their ears, and I can't answer the question for nobody. And I really want to know what that is because from the kids to the adults, which really, really sparked my interest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gotta love the remix. Gotta love the remix. So you've been listening for the last 30 minutes, so I know. There's no such thing as an accident of calling in. And so tonight, the brother Ra Giva is here and really giving us different angles of light to be able to look at things. So I know you're open to really hear what he's about to give you, because it's going to be coming from a completely different angle.
I love it. I'm all about the remix, so I'm open.
All right, Ra Giva.
Beautiful. Now, you saying that your people are hearing a ringing sound in their ear?
Yes, from the adults to the children.
Okay, so and that concerns you because it brought up in your curiosity because of what's the reason or the curiosity in you that's being created behind that sound?
For myself personally, is because I've heard it in the short increments throughout my life, something I always disregarded, but now it's lasting longer, and now I have children and I have other people around me, and I'm being asked, do you hear that noise? And I'm like, no, but then I'll hear it on my own. But the kids are asking me, and I don't want to freak the kids out, so I kind of just like, I don't hear it, but I don't go into it. But if you hear it, I let them know you hear what you hear, but I can't tell you what you hear because I can't.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you hear something because I hear it too.
Okay. So what I would say is, of course, is a vibration, right? It's a vibration that we are all vibing on. And based upon where we are in our responsibility, puts us at a different level of vibration.
Okay.
We hear certain things or we don't hear certain things based upon what responsibilities we are taking on and what responsibilities we ran away from. The more responsibilities you take on, the clearer the vibration gets, the clearer the communication gets. When we start hearing buzzing sounds or interference in our listening, it's because it's trying to let us know that there's something that we missed. There's something that we missed. And it's impacting the whole entire clan, the whole entire family, something we missed. So you need to start tuning into what that could be. What responsibility is being missed that has to be taken advantage of? Well, I say take advantage, has to be taken on and accepted as somebody got to take responsibility for that responsibility. They got to take possession of it. Because
okay.
It's vibration, it's a communication. It's a communication. It's something the universe trying to communicate that, look, there's something that needs to be done that's going to open shit up for you.
Right. And, you know, I'll say this too, because, you know, you called in during this show, and again, I'll say this again, how divine time is. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Because I hear some typing or something. I don't know what that is in the background there.
You probably hear me shuffling my cards or my daughter with her game.
Okay. Okay. Well, here's what I want. If you can just hear this, and I'm going to try to get this in. We got 7 minutes left to go. It's no accident that you called into the show, because you know myself, Brother Panic, and many others that come on, there's many different angles, because that's what we've been talking about, that this is really a different angle. So it's not by chance that you called in. So I want you to think about a mountain. And if you've ever been out, you know, California has mountains in certain parts, you know how long the sound or the vibration comes from a mountain. You can hear the mountain. If somebody gets on top of the mountain and yells, that'll go all the way out. It causes a ripple effect, much like throwing a penny into a pond or a pebble into a stream. So I want you to look at it from this perspective here, that what this mountain is sort of representing is a challenge, a personal challenge that you face, that your mother faced, and now it's being presented to your children.
Right.
So you're all hearing the same thing, you see. This sound is to remind you, and I want you to hear it from this angle. This sound is here to remind you that you need to begin to ask for guidance to see the truth that's being concealed from what's personally happening in your house.
Hmm.
That's going on
go.
With you that's going on with your children, the situation that you had happen last week, all of these things. Because one thing I want to make clear, because if I haven't learned anything from all of the brothers and sisters who've been, I consider great teachers to me, Brother Panic being one of them, is that we tend to try to use spirituality to mix sugar with shit.
That's
not correct. You can't mix sugar with shit. And so what's happening is that you're trying to wish things away by saying, let me just stay focused on my spirituality and wish things away, when in fact they all are encompassed together. So that vibration that your children is picking up. See, you would have never called into this show listening for 30 minutes and know that we were nowhere close to looking at this from the angle unless you wanted to hear and know this angle for yourself. It would have been physically impossible for you to call in if that's what you were looking for. So this is a cause for celebration, because I love learning, and I know you do too. And you're all about your work and about your family. So that's what you really got to be about. You got to stop letting this pattern that has been passed on from your mother, how your mother treated you, and how you felt ignored about things that were important to you. Don't do it to your children. Don't do it to them. It's about really giving them their time, their energy, and your love to really hear them, to really hear that sound. And once that vibration, that frequency becomes in tune with everyone in the house, then suddenly you're going to be able to see past that mountain. You're going to be able to figure out a way to go around all of those challenges that you're facing at this time.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Blue. Thank you, thank you. I love you for this. I needed that. How I shed a tear. Wow.
Well, I love you for that. Absolutely. I love you for calling in, for being that reflection for all of us. So peace and blessings to you, because at the end of the day, we're all really talking to ourselves.
Yes.
So peace and love to you. Now, here's what we're going to do, you guys. You're welcome, sweetie. Peace and love to you. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get ready to go into the after hours. So I don't know. I'm not even going to look over there yet if there's room on the phone lines, but 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines. For those of you who will not be joining us in the after hours, download, download, download. Don't forget, Sunday night, Brother Panic is coming. Y'all know what that means. Sunday night, Q&A, Brother Panic, live in the remix. For the rest of you, download, download, download. And not only do I want you to download, if you like the show, I want you to like it. Like it right here. Leave a comment. Leave a message. Like it. Or go to Facebook and like it over on Facebook and leave a comment. You can always reach out to me, Miss Blue, at questionforblue@gmail.com. You can reach Brother Ra Giva, and he will be back on the remix. You can reach him at Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, Father, Ra, R-A, Giva, G-I-V-A-H, at gmail.com. Much love, warm spirit, peace and love to all of you guys out there as we continue here live in the remix with the rise of Ra Giva. And we're going to keep going. I think we're in the after hours. How we doing, Brother Ra Giva?
We're doing great. We pumped up. We're getting pumped up. Second wind.
Yes. I told you this will be the quickest 4 hours of your life. And we're almost there. It's almost there. It's almost there, you guys. So an amazing share. And I definitely want to send love out to you, all the brothers in New Orleans, all over the world that helped bring you here, Brother Bilal as well.
Yes.
So I definitely just want to, you know, thank you so much for coming on the platform. It's always great, like I said, to get another angle of light that we can continue to do our work with the amazing brothers and sisters that come on the remix all the time. And so it's an honor to have you come on and share with us tonight, as with all the brothers and sisters who come to the platform.
Thank you.
So.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
It is definitely an honor to be on your show and to be in the company of some such powerful people. And
my
heart is touching. The work that you've been doing with me has helped to open me up in a way that I didn't know was possible. So thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Peace and love to you, too. So here we go, you guys. We're in the after hours. Woo! There we go. It's not too late to get your questions in on Facebook. Leave a comment about the show. Everyone in the chat room is sending their love to you, too. They have really loved the show, and they're sending out hearts and loves to you as well, too. We're going to go.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller calling in, it looks like, from area code 214. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
I'm Jay, and I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Okay, greetings to you, Andre, from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, no, that's Jay.
You said
Jay.
Just Jay.
Oh,
yeah,
just Jay.
Just Jay.
How did I hear Andre? I don't know. Okay, Jay.
Okay, look, I've got a big dilemma that I've been carrying for my entire adult life that has basically wrecked my life. And I'm trying to put the pieces of my life together now in order to, you know, move forward. I mean, I've been listening to the entire program, and everything that you said has just had a perfect resonance with my situation. To go ahead and get to it, when I was 17 years old, I fathered a son.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, brother. You know, and I feel you. I really immediately, when I get in your energy, I immediately feel you, you know. I feel this burden that you've been carrying for yourself and, you know, and just so many things that has gone on. You know, one of the things that I'll tell you is that now is now. The greatest moment or the greatest thing about the present, that's why we call it a present, is because it's happening now. You see, now is now. And, you know, being here now, it offers you some gifts. But I can tell you that, you know, even though we say you can't change the past, I know that's not true. I help people change their past every day. Don't I, Raw Giver?
That's right.
So, you know, give yourself the courage, the strength, the credit for being present at this moment. I know you want to tell us about your son and about the son that you abandoned.
You know it.
Yeah,
you know it.
About the son that you abandoned. And, you know, I'll let you finish the rest of your truth here. I'm not going to do a reading just yet.
Well, I mean, you've already done enough. I mean, but basically, it basically went down that the mother and her mother decided that at that time, if I wasn't going to stay and be a father to Jamal, that not to ever come back. See, I grew up real poor, and I had an opportunity to go to college and get a degree, and I wanted to do something for myself and for, you know, to better myself, and I took it. Now, that wasn't the last that I heard of her, because she did make other attempts to include me, but after, I just couldn't get myself together. I never got myself together. Nothing ever worked. I never felt secure. I've went 10 years without looking in the mirror.
Hmm.
And then when I did look in the mirror, I didn't like what I saw. So I avoided it. Couldn't even look in the mirror at myself. Much less say, I love you. Say, I love you. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I at this point in on my journey, I don't even feel like I have a heart chakra. I don't feel anything there. I don't feel anything, even though I've been trying to, you know, get myself right, but I do believe, I mean, because I know this is an illusion now after listening to the remix, and
right.
I believe that I can get there. I mean, I do believe that. I mean, you know, I've got my herb packs and my baths and.
That's what's up.
I have my Know Your Magic. I haven't got the card yet because I just haven't felt that yet, you know. But, you know, I mean, I'm taking a piece at a time. And,
yeah, I mean. Let me ask you this question, brother. Let me ask you this, brother Jay.
Yeah.
What's your afraid of? What you afraid of? What, if you could summarize it for me in a nutshell, what the fuck are you afraid of? I want to know exactly what it is. What you afraid of? Because there's a fear here that's tormenting you. And until you face that fear, you're going to stay in torment. What are you afraid of?
My fear, well, I mean, it's I'm afraid of rejection because I have for some. Yes, I mean,
you're afraid of what you did. You're afraid of walking away from your son is going to happen to you.
No,
right.
No. I want to go back.
No, I'm
I
saying
that
you
reconnect.
Yeah, I do. I understand you want to reconnect, but when you walked away for whatever reason, you walked away. You created a fear for yourself that you got to face, and before you go face your son, you got to face this fear.
Okay, I got you.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, I was afraid I would never become anything, that because I was living in a small town, with, you know, thinking that an opportunity to get out and get an education and, you know, would improve my ability to have a better life, possibilities and. So, but the fear, pardon me.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Go ahead. I'll wait till you finish.
No. I you can go ahead.
Yeah. Here's one of the things I'm going to just kind of, if you're open to do this, let me just give you a mini reading here. And just because, you know, I think this will help you and help all of us. You know, just to understand the position of where you are. And the first thing I want to say to you, Jay, is thank you for calling in, you know.
Yeah, yes.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit for what you just did. And it's not even about us, really. It's about you. Of course, we get the gem of being able to see ourselves because there's so many of us that want to call in. You understand?
Right,
but
and don't have the courage to do that.
Right, don't have the courage to do it, but you took on this courage to call in for yourself. So I want to thank you for that, and definitely thank you for being a part of the Remix family and recognizing all the amazing brothers and sisters that come to the platform. Here's something I learned when I first came into consciousness. And again, this is not
just, this is not about, and I want everybody to be clear on this, this is not about putting yourself, per se, on Front Street. But in some cases, it is necessary for this. But here's something that I learned instantly, and it was so profound to me, and I'm going to share it to you. And this may very well be the first time that I've shared it, because you've helped me to see how powerful this lesson was for me. And that is, whatever is exposed to light becomes light. We're always looking for light. Whatever is exposed to light becomes light. This fear that you're worried about is this fear of rejection. Because for so long, you held on to that everything that you've become was based upon that decision to cut ties with your son. That
But even beyond that, though, see, because
I'm getting ready to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
Trust me, I'm getting ready to tell you. I am. So now it is the question of what you're worried about is not even so much about connecting back with your son, but it is that rejection and it is that judgment. It is the same judgment that you got from your mother, from your grandmother. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but you're missing a part of it also still.
No, I'm not. No. There's nothing to be missed. What I'm not going to allow you to do is keep playing the victim here. Because you're far from being the victim.
I'm not the victim. Yeah, I mean.
So here's what you should really be looking at for yourself. That thing, because I know what it is.
Okay.
I know what it is. That thing that you have that fear of has nothing to do with your son.
Nothing, not a damn thing to do with your son.
It don't have anything to do with your son or the relationship that you can build with it. But guess what? You have a hard time coming to grips with this is who you are. Because you have judged things so much. Does that make sense? Including yourself.
Yeah.
So for you to say, I'm just going to go say, hey, I'm dad, this is
no.
me.
Oh, I would never do that. I couldn't. No, I couldn't do that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've been contemplating for years just what would I say, what would I do, and I think that's part of what has prevented me from even trying to.
But that's an illusion. That's not what's preventing you. That's not what's preventing you. What you're thinking is preventing you is what they're going to say next.
Okay.
It's not preventing you from saying that. Nothing is stopping you from saying, I am your father, I want to connect with you, and I am here.
Okay.
You're not worried about that.
Can I say something right quick? Because, you know, I've seen this before, I've heard this before. You know, because the ego recreates situations that are very, very predictable.
Okay.
I consider this what I call the colored man syndrome. And the colored man syndrome is this idea that we think we know how we're supposed to be or how life is supposed to be successful. And then what happens is we start trying to be that without being our real self. So it becomes more about having this, having that, talking a certain way, doing things a certain way, without us being real about what in the hell we are and what the hell we really want for ourselves.
So what happened is you have a disconnection with your true self. You haven't given yourself a chance to know who the hell your true self is because you've been trying to do what everybody else been telling you you're supposed to do in order to be successful, what I call the colored man syndrome. So like what Ms. Blue was saying when she said talked about your mother and grandmother, a lot of it came from there in terms of what it takes to be successful, and then you felt that pressure to be able to live up to that, but you haven't lived up to who you really are. So now, this is what you have to start doing. You have to start coming to grips with, number one, as Ms. Blue just got through telling you, who you really are, who you've been being. Because you got to take responsibility for being fake.
Yeah.
That's the first
thing
you
got
to take responsibility for. You got to take responsibility for having been fake in order to come back to being real. See, because being fake is a part of the insanity, of the ego. It causes us to fake and pretend and try to keep up, put on airs, or try to, you know, behave like we are all that in a bag of chips when we know the reality about where we really are in our development. So you got to be able to acknowledge that. And once you acknowledge that from your heart, that I haven't been real, I've been fake, but I want to be real, then you're going to start having a movement within yourself, like a bowel movement. You've been constipated. Like right now, you're constipated.
Yeah.
Spiritually constipated. And you need to shit, but you don't know what laxative to take to cause your ass to shit. So what you got to do now to cause your ass to shit, you got to admit that you've been fake.
And here's the thing. Your greatest fear of what you think, they already know that.
Exactly.
Like, they already know that. You're the one that's having a hard time with it. You're struggling with something that people already know. They already know. So let me be the first to tell you that I love you unconditionally.
Yes.
And also, I want to say this to you, and I know you're open to hear it or you wouldn't have called in, is that what you're struggling with on a lot of levels is very silly. Your sexuality has nothing to do with your relationship with your son.
That's right.
Nothing. You are hiding something that everyone who loves you already know.
That's right.
People who love you, they love you. People who don't will never. Don't struggle with what is obvious.
Embrace your whole self. Embrace your whole self.
There's nothing wrong with you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're not a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. There's nothing wrong with you. What you think they gonna say, they already know. But the person I'm concerned about is you. You don't know. You don't know that they already know. It's like being late and trying to slip in class. And you think you got away with something until the bell rings and the professor says, can I talk to you for a moment? I just want to let you know, I did see you come in 30 minutes late. So have a seat. That has nothing to do with your relationship with your son. Nothing. So we love you.
Yeah, but exactly what do
whenever
you...
Whenever you say, but, we go backwards.
Okay, I'm sorry for going backwards. Well, I didn't understand exactly what you meant about the sexuality thing.
You don't understand what that means? That means that you question whether or not you're man enough for your son. Was that clear?
That makes it clear. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying something else.
And it's because of what you've been taught to measure a man by. It's not about what you have, what you don't have, how many degrees you have or don't have. and they got shit
That's
to do
right.
with that.
You could be homeless on the street. You're going to see how much love your son has for you. People do things that maybe in our light that we are in right now, we might not have done it. That's why it's called knowledge. That's why it's called wisdom. That's why it's called experiences, because you're not the same person you were when you were 18. But I know you got it. Peace and love
yeah.
to you, my brother. Make sure
Thank
you call
you.
Back and let us know how it goes. Peace and love.
Absolutely.
Hold the line. Peace and love. All right. We're going to continue here live in the remix. Live in the remix. Live in the remix. Very live in the remix. If you're on the phone lines and you have a question with Brother Ra Giver, press 1 so we know you're on the phone lines. We're going to go to the next caller, and it looks like there's a caller calling in from a private number, but before we actually go to that caller, let me ask you, Ra Giver, why do we fake it?
Because the ego is always trying to take a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to produce what it sees the self producing in other people, but it's trying to get there quick. Like, it's trying to act like it got a degree before it got a degree. It's trying
mm-hmm.
to act like it's the boss before it went through the boss program. It's trying
mm-hmm.
to act like it's a roller or a baller before it even went through the process of being a baller. The ego is always looking for a shortcut because it's like it don't think it have enough time. It don't think there's enough resources. It doesn't think that you're good enough. So it has to fake something in order to pull off what it believes is the greatest heist there is.
Yeah.
To convince everybody
mm-hmm.
to believe that you're something that you're not.
Right. Right. And eventually, as the saying goes, maybe you'll believe it.
Most people do.
You know?
Until
my daddy always say, who are you trying to convince, me or yourself? Who are you trying to convince? Oh, gosh.
And here's the trip part is that relationships are designed to act as mirrors.
Yes.
And what they do is they reflect back to us our private communication with ourselves. So everywhere you show up, your fakeness show up with you
yes.
in your relationship. So
mm-hmm.
what he's been experiencing, every relationship he's went into, people treated him fake like he is. So women have
yes.
been fake with him. The dudes have been fake with him. And so he's been getting everywhere he goes. And so he just wore him out. So he's now resigned and numb because he thinks this is things people are doing to him. He don't know this is some shit he's doing to himself. That's what he got to take responsibility for. Look what I'm, look the
yeah.
shit I'm done to myself.
Right.
By me faking and trying to act like I'm this and act like I'm that, rather than me just be honest about where I really am, given that location, and dealing with it.
Right, and dealing with it, yes.
Sure.
We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 216. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Who's on the line?
Hi. This is Crystal calling again. I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, greetings, and Crystal. Can you take us off speakerphone?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Just a moment.
Okay.
Okay. Hi. I do have a question this time. I had an opportunity to listen to some more of the show, and I was wondering, what would you say for somebody who maybe has ideas and concepts and things but has difficulty moving forward?
Well, that means you're dealing with procrastination, right?
I'm not sure if it's procrastination, but I'm having a lot of challenges moving forward and actually executing the things that I'd like to do.
What is procrastination?
Well, I guess that is. I guess that is.
Yeah,
I've had experiences with procrastination, but this seems to be something that's unique and a bit different.
No, procrastination is nothing but spiritual constipation.
Okay.
So you got a backlog. meaning somewhere in your life you've been talking a lot of shit that you haven't been backing up.
Okay.
What I mean by that is this, that, look, whatever you say you're going to do, you got to do it. Because what happens is when we talk shit and we don't back it up, we get backed up on the inside. Because if you take, for example, every desire that you have, every natural desire, and what I mean by natural is a desire that developed in you, not a desire that developed as a result of you watching somebody else.
Okay.
All right. Now, what happens is people sometimes get those confused. You get an idea from watching somebody else and you think that's your shit.
Okay.
And you don't have the natural will to act on that desire because yourself did not create that desire. That's an ego-driven shit. And what happens is we'll start running behind that, and then we run out of gas. Don't ever get to the end of it because it's not our shit. We don't have the natural gas to go after it. And we start having confusion between the desires that we pick up from other people and the ones that are truly ours. And so we have a habit of talking about what we're going to do and don't do anything about what we say we're going to do. Once you develop that kind of habit, procrastination sets in. And so you got to, here's the diet. You got to stop talking. You got to stop telling your girlfriends about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and start putting some stuff in motion for yourself, making small increments of accomplishments or achievements, small increments of, you know, small goals, achieving those goals, move on to the next thing, and doing it without telling anybody about it.
Yes, definitely. I pulled a card from you from the Chem deck while you were speaking, Crystal, and Sister Munya came up. She's card number 29 in the deck. And Sister Munya is really about that place of stillness, you know, that stillness and recognizing that these things are a birthright, that you don't have to fight for something that's your birthright because it is you, you know, just like Brother Raghiva was saying, it's a part of you. How could you not have enough energy or steam to complete what is you? That can't happen. It's impossible for it to happen. If it is you, you can. There's one thing, Crystal, when I get in your energy, that blocks things for you. Perfectionism. You're a perfectionist.
And I want things to be perfect.
Yes, I see this strong pink light around you. And whenever I see that strong pink aura like that, I know you're full of so much love. Because that also represents love, too. But it also represents you're a perfectionist. And in your mind, if it's not exactly right, then you don't want to take it forward. But here's where you can really learn from these tendencies you have. Stop judging. Stop judging yourself and stop judging others. Other people is key because that's the mirror. See, because like Brother Raghita said, you're talking so much junk about other people, you can't do your stuff like that. You done talk so much junk about them, you like, ooh, child, I'm still working on that. I'm going to get it together.
Exactly.
You know, it forces you to kind of like back yourself up. But here's what I learned, and you guys know I speak very openly about projects I've worked on and things that I'm doing, and yes, they coming along. Think about the Chem deck. It took us almost, what, 10 months to give birth to that. I thought I was going to do it in 30 days. Talk about ego. The impure feminine. We was like, yep. She was like, okay, Ms. Booth, you say I could do it. I could do it. I said, yes, we can. We can get this done in 30 days. You understand? But that really taught me about understanding about sometimes we have to sit in that moment of stillness to hear that higher voice that's within us. I'm a perfectionist, too. But what I've also learned is sometimes you got to throw all that shit out the window. This is why I do the Chem business class. Because every single rule that they tell you about business of your life, business of yourself, business of business, And even on some level, business or spirituality, I've thrown all of that out the window, and everybody who's come on the remix is a piece of how they've thrown it out the window, and it works. You understand? It works. So sometimes you have to launch and fucking learn later. But that requires you to standing on top of your square. So you have to be very secure because you know, because you do it. When you put it out there, other people is going to. See, you don't get to get good without. We live in a world of polarity. So I recognize that as many people who love Miss Blue, and it's a lot of y'all out there, and I love y'all, that's how many people also hate me. That's just being real. You understand?
Right.
Because that keeps you balanced.
Right.
So you don't get swayed by any little thing this way or that way or this way or that way. Because that will inflate the ego, you see. So get your project. Get it to a point where it's done. Launch it. You'll learn from it. You're never, one thing you'll be able to say if you never do it, you'll always be stuck with the could've, the should've, and the would've. That done killed more people on the planet than any disease that has ever hit. Could've, should've, would've.
I think that's one of the things that's really making me, it's making me sick now to know that I could've and I should've.
That's right. Could've. I'm not lying to you. I'm a holistic practitioner, too. Coulda, shoulda, woulda is responsible for more deaths and murders in this country than any other disease, any other gang, any other war, any other anything. It has killed more people. So stop it. Put it out there. Get it together.
And
it doesn't have
and
to.
And please, by all means, stop talking about other people.
Yes.
Okay.
See, then you
by
don't
all
have
means.
Guilt. You understand what I'm saying? When I'm putting something out there, people make fun. Y'all know me, Miss Blue. I'm going to tear up your name. Sometimes y'all may read the board. It may be misspelled words. But I'm not out here judging other people like that. So I'm not scared to make a mistake. You got to take a risk when it comes to going after what's in your heart. You're risking that. You understand? That's why they always say, I want you to check and look and see if you're at risk for a heart attack. You have to check and see if you're at risk for some magic to happen in your life.
Okay. All right.
So there you go.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate having this conversation with you, and I'm going to keep listening. Thank you.
All right. And I want you to call back in on another show and let me know when you have launched and learned.
Okay. Well, it is actually, it's a project. Actually, there are quite a few of them, and it is something that will be launched soon.
Here you go. Next time I give the Kim business class, you need to be in it. But here's what I'll say to you. Until then, you pick the one that you can get done now.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that is making you sick. I'm telling you, I can see your blood pressure. I see all of these things in your energy coming unaligned. Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Okay. I'm going to do something now while I continue to listen. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Thank
you.
Love to you. You're welcome. Right. Beautiful. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Yes. Go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 330. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are. And
somebody
where you're calling
from Akron.
Calling from, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, greetings. Where are you calling from?
Akron.
Okay. Who's on the line, please?
Oh, this is Terrence. I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was on here.
Okay, Terrence, who you thought you were talking to?
Well, I was actually just listening to the show, and I didn't know I was on. But I will say, though, I thank you guys for the show that you do. I really don't have a question. I'm just listening, actually. But everything
you
guys do, man, it really changed my life.
Your hand is up. Oh, well, beautiful, beautiful. We glad to hear that because I've seen your hand go up, so that's why I asked. So peace and love to you. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. All right. Well, you know, I don't know how much more time we have in the after hours. I think we're actually maybe going to get ready to get out of here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank you, of course, Brother Raghiva, for bringing this amazing chair here tonight, full of lots of energy, love, and just understanding, and let's not forget responsibility.
Yes.
And let's not forget that. let's not ever forget that. And definitely.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to give you some words to close us out here.
Are you giving me some words to close out? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm going to give you some. I'm going to give you the floor so you can give us some words so we can close out.
I'm just
going
to give you some words to close out. I'll wait for you to give me some words.
Yeah, that's good too, right?
Yeah,
I can now. You know I can do it.
I know you
can.
That's what I'm waiting for. I would simply say in terms of leading us out is to know that wherever you're going in circles in your life is because you have a willful ignorance, which simply means there is something that you're responsible for that you're not taking responsibility for. Now, you can continue to, you know, to be stubborn about it. You could continue to want to be right and to try to prove you're right and somebody else is wrong. Or you could surrender to yourself to find out what that responsibility is that you're not taking and stop going in circles. It's up to you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you guys, listen, it's been an amazing share here tonight. We've covered a lot of information, and, you know, so much of what we've talked about now, this new era that we're going into. So this show really speaks to a lot of things. When we talk about what to begin to do to line our energy up, you know, and get things in order, this is definitely a show that speaks to that. From everything from generational patterns to how to find the hidden ego to facing the future, because we know the past, the present, and the future is all happening right now. This is the time now. All of these things are going on at this precise moment. And so I continue to invite you guys to bring out your origin, to connect with this new era that we're in that really is about you discovering your higher self, your true self. This is what all the work has been about, what the remix is about, and everyone who comes on the platform really shares their own angle of light. Remember, one thing about light, when it exposes light to it, it then becomes light. That's where the responsibility comes in, as Brother Raghiva puts it, and that we all get to really sit back and learn from this, learn from it in our own ways. And what I would invite you guys to do, because I would love to hear your angle, your light about tonight's show, post it on the Remix family page, post it on the Remix, post it right here on Blog Talk, send that feedback to myself. Send it to Raghiva. We want to know your angle of light, of what your takeaway was, because at the end of the day, we are all learning from each other, and that's
right.
What makes life so wonderful, what makes it so beautiful. So I wish you guys peace and love and blessings, much love, warm spirit, and love to all of our brothers and sisters all over the world who's listening here tonight and everybody who will continue to come on the Remix platform as we continue to take responsibility, learn from different angles of light, raise our vibrational frequency, and, of course, know our magic because that's what we're about. So peace and love, everybody. We're going to listen to a little bit of music as we get ready to get out of here. And I'll see you guys on Sunday night. Peace and love. Much love, everyone. Peace.
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 Peace. Peace.
Peace and love, everyone.